Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Friday, January 10th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Philadelphia police are investigating after a mother of five was found dead inside her Mayfair home on Thursday night. Investigators said the victim's mother came home on the 4100 block of Levick Street near Frankfurt Avenue just before 7 o'clock. She saw that the back door was kicked in and her adult daughter's car was outside, according to police. The woman called 911. Investigators arrived at the home and found the woman's 25-year-old daughter dead in an upstairs bedroom. Police said it appears someone hit the victim over the head, causing severe injuries. Investigators say the room was in disarray. They believe a violent struggle took place, and it's unclear how the woman died, but police believe that she did know the offender. Police said the victim was a mother of five who worked for a bus company. She was fostering three children, and two of the children were her biological children, according to police. None of the children were inside the home at the time of the incident. No arrests have been made. Anyone with information is asked to contact police. A Delaware teenager was killed when a car collided with a school bus on Thursday afternoon. The Colonial School District identified the female victim as a 16-year-old William Penn High School student. The accident happened around 3:40 at Carolyn and Memorial Drives in Newcastle. Police said the bus had just left the Eisenberg Elementary School with 21 children on board. It collided with a vehicle being driven by the William Penn High School student. Three other 16-year-olds were also in the car. The driver was pronounced dead at the scene. One passenger was rushed to the hospital with serious life-threatening injuries. The two other 16-year-old passengers were taken to the hospital, but they were in stable condition. Parents rushed to pick up their children. Witnesses pulled over to try to help. The children on the bus, they say they kept them in the back of the bus. In a letter by the Colonial School District, officials said that all of the Eisenberg Elementary students on the bus were shaken, but none of them were physically harmed. However, two 10-year-old boys were taken to the hospital as a precaution. They were later released. District officials said counselors, administrators, and crisis team will be on hand at schools Friday to assist students. The cause of the crash remains under investigation, and no charges have been filed. CNN obtained video on Thursday that appears to show a missile being fired into the Tehran sky and striking an object around the same time the Ukrainian plane crashed just after taking off from the city's airport. News of the video came hours after the leaders of Canada and Britain said that they have intelligence that the Ukrainian airline was shot down by an Iranian surface-to-air missile. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, whose country lost 63 citizens in the crash, called for a thorough investigation into what caused the crash, but would not provide additional details about the evidence and intelligence he cited. This may have been unintentional, Trudeau said at a news conference in Ottawa. Not long after Trudeau's news conference, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson said the country's intelligence service had come to the same conclusion. CNN reported earlier Thursday that the U.S. increasingly believes Iran mistakenly shot down the airliner, according to multiple U.S. officials. President Donald Trump on Thursday said he suspected the crash was not due to mechanical issues, indicating that somebody could have made a mistake on the other side. Asked during a White House event what he thought happened to the plane, Trump said, "Well, I have my suspicions." In sports this morning,
all sacks are yummy.
The Sixers came back to beat the Boston Celtics last night in South Philly. Josh Richardson scored 29 points. Ben Simmons added 19, and the Sixers won 109-98. Furkan Korkmaz buried a three-pointer late in the fourth, and Al Horford converted a three-point play for a seven-point lead. The Celtics pulled within two, but the Sixers used a 9-0 run to put the game away and improve to 18-2 at home. The Sixers are on the road next with a game in Dallas tomorrow against the Mavericks. Tip-off is scheduled for 8:30. Now, before last night's game, the team announced that Joel Embiid will have surgery on his left hand Friday in New York City to repair a torn ligament and be dislocated his left ring finger in the game against Oklahoma City on Monday night. The Sixers star will be reevaluated in 1 to 2 weeks. The Eagles fired offensive coordinator Mike Raw and wide receiver coach Carson Walsh. Head coach Doug Peterson announced yesterday, according to ESPN, two possible candidates for the open offensive coordinator post are former Indianapolis Colts head coach Jim Caldwell and former Washington Redskins offensive coordinator Kevin O'Connell. The news comes a day after Peterson indicated that both men were likely to return to the Eagles in 2020 in what turned out to be a public showing of support for assistance before the decision was finalized. And the Flyers, who are 14-2-4 at home, Chase have one of the best home records in the NHL, and they'll be in South Philly tomorrow night. They'll host the Tampa Bay Lightning. The puck drops at 7 o'clock. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much, Kat. The end of the week, we have landed there, and we are loaded for bear. We got a lot going on today. We do have some cash, a couple of chances for you to win some good money. In fact, easy money. That's what we call the contest. It starts at 8 a.m., your opportunity to win $1,000. Very, very simple to do, too. And then later on, around 9:30, if you watch Dr. Oz, we've been doing this Watch and Win contest. We have $500. A question for you concerning yesterday's show. We'll have that. We also have, guest-wise, stopping by today, Patrick Warburton.
Yeah.
Party of Seinfeld fame and many other things as well. And the last time we had him by here was a few years ago. It was one of our favorite interviews.
He's great.
Awesome.
And he is, as we know, a nuclear Pearl Jam fan.
So we decided to put him to the test. And
yeah.
We'll get all that going when he gets on the air in the 8 o'clock hour. He's going to be at Punchline this weekend, tonight and tomorrow. I'll give you the times of the shows a little bit later on. Our friends from Godshalls are here, so we're going to have turkey bacon to give away. So we'll have your chance to win that stuff, too. So food and cash, that's a wonderful thing.
It's a good Friday.
And, yeah, I didn't set my alarm last night. Casey and Steve contacted me this morning. You would think, getting an extra hour and 15 minutes of sleep, that I'd be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
No.
I feel like crap.
Oh, man.
I don't know what that's all about.
I have the same experience also because it just sucks to be behind the clock when you're getting in the morning. But for some reason, it throws off your schedule, your internal clock, and I think that always makes me feel more tired.
Either that or I'm sick or something. It's really weird.
That's well, you wouldn't be the only one.
Are you getting ill or something?
I don't know. I feel lousy. But I'm planning on having a good time this morning.
So it matters.
You guys are going to raise my spirits.
And you'll learn the healing power of turkey bacon.
That we will. Absolutely. I'll rub it all over my face.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second, and we'll get into the entertainment report. I don't know what's coming. We'll find out together. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so we're going to do the stupid question this morning. Going to give away a 4-pack of tickets for the Philly Home Show. It's today through the 12th and then the 17th through the 19th. At the Pennsylvania Convention Center. Question, we mentioned booze. Let's do a booze question. A martini with a pickled onion in it is called what? 215-263-WMMR. A martini with a pickled onion instead of an olive in it is called a what? 215-263-WMMR. We'll go through some birthdays. I got just a few of them today. It is the 10th day of January. Lead singer of Shinedown, Brent Smith.
Yeah.
Celebrates his 42nd birthday today.
Very nice guy.
Very tight with WMMR.
Yeah. Love this song.
And, I mean, Philadelphia loves this band.
Yes.
I mean, they pack them in at their shows, and they're fiercely loyal to the group. And it's
reciprocated.
It's absolutely. They love this area.
They do, yeah.
And Brent recently sent a message over to Bill Weston, which I read on the air the other day, because this song was,
it was Monsters. This was the song of 2018, but Monsters was the song of
top song of MMR. Yes. And Brent had commented on that, and he's like, we're blown away.
We
absolutely love that fact. And so that's cool, man. Great band, good people. And Brent is a great guy. He's 42 years old today. George Foreman celebrates his birthday as well.
Wow.
The grill pitch man, who had a little bit of a boxing career, too.
Honestly, at this point, there are many more people who know him as the grill man.
I know.
And again, the story we've told and relayed, it's true. He was just a random selection. There were two people up to get that endorsement, Hulk Hogan and George Foreman. The difference was George Foreman was home to take the call.
Yeah.
And so I thought Hulk passed on it. He just missed the call?
That's basically one of two stories. But yeah, either he passed on it or he missed the call. call, but wow. I talk about a multi-million dollar business venture.
I'll tell you what, it worked really well. I mean, you know, I was...
You don't see him advertised much more anymore, though, do you?
No, not at all. But I tell you what, in his prime, in his boxing days, he was a beast.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
And he admits he had that killer instinct.
He did.
He, not on a Tyson level, but he was there.
But you would never think of that smiling guy that we know now.
Yeah.
Was the George Foreman. If you go back and watch, the Rumbling in the Jungle.
Yeah.
He was just
scary.
Very scary. He's 71 years old today. Pat Benatar celebrates her birthday. 66 years old.
I popped in a little Benatar last week.
I love Pat Benatar.
Yeah.
Always have. She was able to ride that wave between pop and rock very, very well. She's a legit rock star.
She is, and her husband is a damn good guitarist.
Outstanding. And he does tons of session work. He's one of those kind of go-to guys that people know that they can hire, and he'll get the job done. Happy 66th birthday today to Pat Benatar. And one of the greats, Rod Stewart, celebrates his 75th birthday today.
Just a smackdown.
Just arrested.
Right.
For assault on, was it New Year's Eve? I think it might have been New Year's Eve.
Yeah. It was with his family, and I guess there was a little bit of chest pushing.
Yeah, something like that.
One of my favorite commercials ever, local commercials for a radio station that used to be right down the street was advertising Rod Stewart and the lady doing the actual
goes,
Rod Stewart really melts my butter.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. Every time. Oh, it
was
just
a B101 commercial,
was,
right?
Yeah.
Melts my butter.
Rod Stewart really melts my butter.
What rocker doesn't want to hear that?
Yeah. But the faces, and, he had his disco face.
Oh, yeah.
And then he, late in the career, now he does, these big band standards, and they sell like crazy.
They do. I love his earlier work with the faces, though, and all that stuff is just... really worth revisiting.
Not long ago, I was listening to the song Tonight's the Night, and it's just a great freaking
Tonight's
song.
Tonight's the Night!
The whole thing, musically, it's excellent. And this, this song's brilliant.
It's a great song!
And then they had to pump his stomach one time, right?
No. Yeah, dog semen.
Dog semen?
That's what I heard.
You remember the B101 ad? He really melts my dog semen.
There were these weird rumors about him back in the 70s that he was gay, and meanwhile he was banging every supermodel in the world.
Yeah. That's my kind of gay.
It was just because he started dressing a little bit androgynously and having fun with
the
fashion.
He must be gay.
Yeah, that guy must be gay. But he was he had all the ladies he wanted. Yeah. But there were rumors about him, they had to pump his stomach. He was full of semen and all this stuff.
We talked about that time, Preston, and those particular celebrities where they've just done so much sexually. Like, I wonder what it would be like to bang a wood chipper. You know,
they're running
out of things to hum.
Yeah. And Rod Stewart and Mick Jagger and David Bowie and all those guys would have been in that club.
Right.
Just let's try something new.
Yeah.
So happy 75th to the great Rod Stewart. And then Jermaine Clement of Flight of the Conchords.
He's very fun.
And many other things. He was in one of the Men in Black movies, I think.
And the third one.
Dinner for Schmucks, right?
Oh, Dinner for Schmucks, that's right. Oh, my God, he's so funny in that.
And then the What We Do in the Shadows?
Yes.
Yes. That's the vampire.
The vampire movie with Watiti called Watiti.
Like a reality show?
Yeah, Taika Waititi.
And it's been made into a very funny series, if you ever get a chance to watch it.
He's a good singing role in Moana, too, Jermaine.
He's
the giant clam in under the sea, as you would imagine.
It's a crab, I think.
Crab?
Yeah. So he's
a cram.
46 today. All right, so happy birthday to everybody. Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. What is a martini with a pickled onion in it instead of an olive called? 215-263-WMMR, and it is Suzanne who's on the line. Suzanne? Good morning. All right, Suzanne, do me a favor. Tell me what a martini is called when you have a pickled onion in it.
Called a Gibson.
A Gibson. Yep.
Nice. Mel Gibson.
A Mel Gibson. All right. Hey. Suzanne, hang on. We're going to get your information, and we're going to give you a four-pack of tickets for the Philly Home Show, which is today through the 12th and the 17th to the 19th. At the Pennsylvania Convention Center, you can visit phillyhomeshow.com for tickets. Meet Kathy at the show this Saturday. She'll be there from 4 to 6.
These bitches down the hallway, they are talking so much
trash.
Oh, no kidding.
Oh, my God. Listen, if you listen to the Preston and Steve show, you have to come out and vote for my design. You cannot let them beat me.
It's personal now, right?
Oh, my God. Andy is, like, the most competitive person on the face of the earth. Like, I mean, yeah. Really, like, shooting me dirty looks now. I'm like, what,
wow.
What is happening?
Okay.
So, you please.
Well, I didn't
you
know that.
You have to help me with Andy, it.
Was there a flare? Did you see something on social media?
No, you know what? The NBC10 released their video. So, the video is out of us kind of shopping through IKEA and picking our stuff. And apparently, I picked something that Andy picked as well. So, that didn't go over well.
Oh.
So come out on, and I think voting is just this weekend. They're actually going to reveal who wins next Friday. This weekend, if you're coming to the home show, make sure you stop by. I'll be there Saturday 4 to 6, but the design will be there the entire weekend, and you can vote the entire weekend.
Kathy, have you requested the full power of the Preston and Steve show? Because we can turn it on if you want.
I think so. I think I need it.
Okay. All right.
I can't let these ladies
All you got to do is remind them that they play country music.
wait. But you said bitches.
Oh, Kristen.
Kristen
bad? Herman?
No. Kristen could never be
know,
a bitch.
We know how bad she is.
I gotta say.
No, but I will say last year,
Kristen. I like their spunk.
Yeah, no, they do. I will say last year, Kristen brought candy, and she was handing candy out for votes.
Kill them with kindness.
Yes.
What a whore.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know what I'll do? I'll bring some calendars and I'll slide that to the adults that come by.
Kathy, hand out some handies.
You can
do that.
Set up a glory hole.
A glory hole.
Yeah.
You should bake cookies.
Yeah.
You should bake cookies and say that they're from Andy and Kristen.
All right. Anyway, vote for Kathy. All right, let's get into some of the entertainment stories. When Prince Harry and Meghan Markle shared the news that they were leaving the royal family, many people were shocked, including, it seems, the royal family themselves, the Queen.
We played the audio yesterday.
Yeah. And other royals, including his father, Prince Charles, and brother Prince William, were completely caught off guard.
What the
f***? Yeah, you could hear that, obviously. Wow. Source said the Queen is devastated by the decision, although she had been aware of their struggles the last few months and has been concerned for their well-being and their happiness. So, listen, even if they leave the royal family, they're still going to get the onslaught of the tabloids. You know, I mean, they're still.
That's exactly right, Preston.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Also on this case, and I was reading a timeline. The Daily Mail is suspect. Sometimes they're spot on and sometimes they're, way off the mark. But this seems pretty accurate. They'd made their feelings known to the Queen and to the other members of the royal family. And they jumped ahead of their own proposed timeline with the release of this. Basically, the Queen was saying, this is not the kind of thing you can just blurt out. We need to work out how it's going to look to the public and how we proceed with this. She wasn't putting the kibosh on it, but basically saying, well, let's work this out. And they jumped ahead of that.
Oh, by the way, here's a phrase that I had not seen until just now. It says here, another spy predicts that the Queen will make them pay for their Megxit.
Megxit.
Without offering.
It's the new Watergate.
Megxit.
Yeah.
So there seems to be a lot of confusion. Hours after they said that they wanted to carve out a progressive new role, the monarch reacted, saying that the conversation is still in the early stages.
Well, I heard they want to do the Ninja Challenge.
Okay. It's still unclear if Harry will still be the sixth in line to the throne behind Charles, William, and William's three children, George, Charlotte, and Louis.
Right now he's behind Adele, Preston.
Before and after their announcement, speculation of a rift between Harry and Meghan and William and his wife Kate was renewed. And then on Thursday, Meghan and Harry's message to Kate on her 38th birthday incited a furious reaction. So I don't even know what it was. Well, they wrote, wishing a very happy birthday to the Duchess of Cambridge today.
Did you see how dramatically, though, the Queen has cozied up to Kate Middleton? They went ziplining
yesterday. No, no kidding.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
I mean, that shows you. Because they're the more conventional, and even they, though, I think, again, we say they put a good foot forward for the monarchy.
Yeah.
Whee! That's what I get to do. What is this?
By the way, Madame Tussauds London seems to take things rather hard as well. The curator at the Wax Museum removed Meghan and Harry's wax figures away from the rest of the royal family in response to their decision.
And they turned a flamethrower on him in the parking lot.
I honestly can't believe how, like, crazy people are going over this. I'm not into the royal family to begin with, right? Yeah. Like, you know, both those royal weddings and the babies and all that sort of stuff. I really... I don't care. Like it, I get annoyed at all the pomp and circumstance around it.
Not like Fish.
No, not like. I mean, those guys actually have talent and bring something to the world. My wife sent me a text yesterday going like, "Oh my God, can you believe this?" I'm like,
I'm interested in it. It doesn't matter either way, as Preston points out. Regardless of what they end up doing, they're going to still be under. In fact, the scrutiny will probably increase exponentially.
I'm interested because I've watched The Crown, Steve.
The Crown is so, honestly,
it actually
you're
has
right.
made me much more interested in the royal family,
and it's a great show.
It's a great show,
and it also
show.
And all this stuff when you look. Where you might have before tended to dismiss and go, these elites and so on and so forth. The truth of the matter is you see there's a lot of sacrifice. Yeah. There's a lot of BS that goes on, a lot of protocol that they're slavishly held to task with.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you're right. I agree.
Well, I'm kind of with you, though, Case, because the other night we were sort of like on the precipice of war, and there was the impeachment trial was about to start, and then this was like the third story, and it got as much coverage. And this is, I guess, important to a lot of people, but to me, not quite on that level.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, there's serious stuff, right. Obviously. But then there are distractions, which I think we need when there's real serious, heavy stuff going on in the
Nick,
world.
Nick, did you watch The Crown, too?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
I love
it. And you watched Downton Abbey. Is it... Would I like The Crown?
Yes, very much so.
Because you keep saying that, Preston. I'm like, I have to watch it.
It's really good.
Yeah.
And what the deals with The Crown is you can watch several episodes and then you forget... to take a good look at when they're in these surroundings, like, where did they film this stuff? It looks like they're really in these locations. It's
right.
Unbelievable. So, anyway, I recommend it. It's really well done. Harvey Weinstein's legal team filed court documents yesterday requesting that Judge James Burke step down. We said this, citing his inflammatory threat to throw Weinstein in jail over the cell phone use. But Burke denied their motion. He had said, I certainly never meant... that I was going to put your client in jail for life, nor did I mean that I had prejudged whether he is guilty or not guilty or innocent of the charges. All I meant to do was scare him enough for him to discontinue using his phone.
So what they really did was a really good maneuver. Nothing was advanced on their side, and they managed to piss the judge off even further.
Yeah. The court does not know the verdict and has not made a call on what it might be or might not be.
Son of a bitch.
He further commented, a judge admonishing a defendant for repeatedly not following the rules of the courtroom does not show bias, but rather simply a judge maintaining order and decorum in his courtroom.
Is that what the judge is supposed to
do? He's saying shut the F up.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Justin Bieber, you mentioned this, Steve, yesterday, has revealed that he was recently diagnosed with Lyme disease. Bieber shared the news on an Instagram post on Wednesday. He said, while a lot of people kept saying Justin Bieber looks like S on meth, etc., they fail to realize that I've been recently diagnosed with Lyme disease. Not only that, but I had a serious case of chronic mono, which affected my skin, brain function, energy, and overall health. Those things will be explained further in a docu-series I'm putting on YouTube shortly.
Yeah, he said, a whole elaborate thing about living with it and being diagnosed with it.
He said, you can learn all that I've been battling and overcoming. It's been a rough couple of years, but getting the right treatment that will help treat this so far incurable disease, and I will be back and better than ever.
You know who came to his defense is Avril Lavigne.
Oh, no kidding.
She also has Lyme disease.
Mm-hmm. So Bieber's news comes after he released his first new solo single in more than 4 years last week, Yummy.
Yummy.
Brad Pitt says that Bradley Cooper helped him get sober.
Bradley Cooper helped us all get sober.
He's been open about his journey for sobriety and explained that after his split from Angelina Jolie, he decided to stop drinking in 2017. He began attending Alcoholics Anonymous meetings at the National Board of Review Annual Awards Gala Wednesday night. He revealed his good friend Bradley Cooper helped him make the change.
Well, wait a second. If Bradley Cooper is our dear, dear friend, does that in a way make Brad Pitt our dear friend as well?
Transitive property,
Cooper presented...
He told me and Nick separately that he crushed a cheesesteak when he was here in Philadelphia.
That's right, yeah, I remember.
Yep. Cooper presented the 55-year-old presented... What is this?
He presented the 55-year-old presented.
Yeah, that's what it says here, literally. I think it's supposed to say Cooper said the 55-year-old presented with a Best Supporting Actor Award for his role in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. And in his speech, Pitt said, he's a sweetheart. I got sober because of this guy, and every day has been happier ever since.
It's nice.
Cooper told Barbara Walters in 2015 that he stopped drinking in his late 20s. calling the change beautiful. So,
well, I guess there was a picture of both of them, Kathy, at Floral and Hardy.
What?
Yeah, they do a lot of a
how did
arts
I miss
crafts.
That?
They're doing arts and crafts.
Yeah, that's the healing process.
Cool. Who's older, by the way?
I would say Brad Pitt. Yeah,
he doesn't
Bradley
look older.
Bradley Cooper is like me and Nick's age.
There was a picture of them side by side, and Bradley Cooper actually looks a little older than Brad Pitt, I think.
And right? I don't mean this disparagingly to Bradley Cooper, but I do not like his haircut.
No,
it looks sort of Gumpian.
Preston, I will say, I think that Brad Pitt has probably had some face work done, whereas maybe Bradley Cooper hasn't gotten there yet.
You think Brad Pitt has had some face work done?
Oh, he has, yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah. Totally.
I'm not sure.
His face is too tight for his age.
Well, okay. He's just tight all over, man.
Bill Cosby is appealing a court decision last month that upheld his conviction of sexual assault. This appeal was filed with the Pennsylvania Supreme Court and focuses on several issues, including a judge's decision to let five other accusers testify.
I did every one of them. I didn't do any of it.
The court.
Does we really need to rehearse this before we go in?
The court does not have to take up the case. The 82-year-old is serving.
If you're careful, you might learn something.
82-year-old. He's just commenting on everything he hears.
I love that Tecmo football.
Yeah. The 82-year-old is serving a 3 to 10 year prison sentence. Of course, we know that. Okay, what else do we have here? YouTube star Tana Mongeau.
Oh, my God. This, Steve, this one's going to blow you away, man.
All right. Tells Page Six that she's just trying to chill out and live her best life after splitting with Jake Paul.
Oh, my God.
Just wait.
She said, this is one you were telling me
this
about?
I haven't even read, wait till you hear the details.
Right now, we know she's attempting to live her best life, but go ahead.
I got to work late this morning, so I haven't even read the information that I'm passing along to you, so I'm in on this as well. She said, I'm just really focusing on loving myself, doing good things for myself, trying to really focus on my mental health and physical health and help my followers do the same and see where life takes me. I don't want to really force anything or rush anything or be with anyone right now.
It's crazy, huh?
So she, correct me if I'm wrong here, she had just married Jake Paul?
Not that long ago.
About a few months, correct?
They got married in Las Vegas in July.
Okay.
But their union was never legally binding, it says here.
Was this one of those Elvis ceremonies?
Had to have been like a...
All right.
Yeah, like
a Downton Abbey ceremony, which is catching on in Las Vegas as well.
Steve, I was watching CNN last night and...
They broke in for this? Wow.
Yeah, they were in the middle of the... they were talking about the surface-to-air missile in Tehran. Yeah.
And Blitzer, we're going to go away from this right now. Jake Paul stories are developing.
I don't even know who she is. Tana Mongeau. She's a YouTube star, so I don't know.
Mongeau just pawn in Game of Life.
I don't know what her thing is on YouTube, what she does. I think
it's being vapid.
Casey just about lost his coffee when you said Mongeau is just pawn in Game of Life.
I don't know. There are so many Instagram models.
I guess she's an influencer. Nick pulled up her pictures, and it's just her doing that stupid, hey, look at me thing.
There's this very beautiful girl who I had no idea who she was. I kept seeing her pop up. Her name is Sophia Diamond. Have you seen her pop up, Preston?
No.
You call up a picture of her. All right. And it's one of these people. I figured, okay, of course she has to be an actress. She has to be. All she really is she's on TikTok and Instagram.
That's it, huh?
Yeah.
That's it.
They're stars now.
Hey, sort of. Anybody see that chick who was able to stand up with... She laid on her stomach with her hands behind her back.
And she could stand up?
And she could stand up without rolling over on either side. Have you seen that? This chick should be... Everybody should know her.
She should host the Oscars.
Yeah, she should host the Oscars.
I need to see that video.
Oh, you got
to
watch it.
She does it the whole time on the ground with her hands behind her back.
I want to see if you can do this, Kat.
During the break, I think we should all do it.
Explain it to me.
All right, so
I don't understand.
What you need to do is lay on your stomach, okay? Face down, lay on your stomach with your legs straight out and put your hands behind your back. And then you have to be able to try and stand up, but you're not allowed to roll over on either side.
So she sort of pulls herself in like an inchworm, right?
No. If you guys have the video, roll it, because I did not see. I thought you were going to roll in like an inchworm, but this chick,
what is she,
who
lift
should
herself
host
up
the
by
Oscars
her tongue?
Now. No. I don't even. Even I don't even know. No, I don't want to tell you guys. I want you guys to see.
Did
this
you watch
on your
it?
Yeah, I watched. I'm not going to tell you.
All right.
I don't want to ruin it for you. And I don't want to spoiler alert.
Do you know who she is?
Oh my God. I do not know who she
is. Okay, so we don't know if like she's an Instagram model or something like that.
Nah, this is a TikTok thing.
Okay,
but this was like blowing everybody away.
When you said, "Do you know who she is?" I thought you were like. You were going to reveal it. It's Judy Dench.
It's Marilyn Russell.
Kate Beckinsale. I had no idea.
No,
it's Kathy Bates.
Okay.
Well,
I thought Damara was going to be able to find the video, but she can't. Wow. Oh, my God. Even Nick Murphy can't even find it.
Don't worry about it because I don't care.
But we're going to move on.
Yeah, we're going to move on.
We're going to move on.
I think we should do, it's Friday, so we got movies opening. We got clips to do, all this stuff. So let's go ahead and get into that right now.
So majestic.
A few movies opening this weekend. We'll start with this one. Underwater is a horror film directed by William Eubank, and Kristen Stewart's in it.
She looks like Eminem in it.
As well as T.J. Miller and John Gallagher and a bunch of other people I don't know. It's about crew members on a search vessel at the bottom of the ocean, and they're terrorized by a mysterious creature.
Do you know what it is? The creature turns out to be Dora.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Really? They've made her a villain? Wow. PG-13, hour and 35 minutes long. It's got a 53% score at Rotten Tomatoes. Also open this weekend is Like a Boss. It's comedy, and it is directed by Miguel Arteta. Stars Tiffany Haddish, Rose Byrne, Jennifer Coolidge, Billy Porter, Salma Hayek, and Ari Grainer. The owners of a cosmetics company get an offer from an industry titan, but things change more than they anticipated. It's rated R, hour and 23 minutes. Ooh, it's only got a 24% score so far.
Have you seen Rose Byrne lately? She's blonde.
Is she blonde?
Yeah.
She looks good. Yeah, she's very attractive. Then you have Just Mercy opening as well.
It's those guys in the studio.
It's a drama, and it is directed by Destin Daniel Cretton, and it stars Michael B. Jordan, Jamie Foxx, Brie Larson, O'Shea Jackson, Tim Blake Nelson, who was here in our studio to promote that as well. Lawyer fights to exonerate a man on death row. It's rated PG-13. 2 hours, 16 minutes, 82%.
Oh, so good.
Nice. Scored very well. And it was cool to meet and hang out with those guys.
Really was.
Yeah, it was a great interview.
We'd love to have Tim Blake Nelson back now to talk about The Watchmen.
Oh, my God, yeah. And then also opening this weekend is 1917.
Ooh, want to see this.
It is an action drama directed by Sam Mendes and Andrew Scott, Benedict Cumberbatch, Richard Madden, and others are in the film. Colin Firth is in it. It's about two soldiers that are sent on a dangerous mission during World War I to save 1,600 men from certain death. Rated R, hour and 59 minutes long. It is an 89% score at Rotten Tomatoes. And this is the single shot, or is it supposed to feel that way?
Yeah, they're 8, 9, 10 minute segments that are single camera shots.
Okay.
So, and they're stitched together. Was this based on an actual story, Nick?
It's based on a true story. Yeah. It looks fantastic. This was one that I would like to see in the theaters. I think it's one of those ones you don't want to wait till, you know, it's on Netflix or whatever.
So those are the movies opening this weekend. Okay, we have this video. Should we watch it?
Yes. Oh, my God. You guys are going to be so
amazed. Describe
it
to those of you who are listening on the radio. There's a woman lying face down, her hands behind her back. Casey says she has an interesting way of getting up. She does the split.
Oh, yeah, that's
that's pretty amazing.
That's pretty bad.
So she does the splits and brings her legs all the way up, even with her body, and then she just sits up. So there you go.
That's impressive.
I would imagine lots of limber people can do that.
I think Nick McElwain can do it.
When you think of me, you think limber.
I absolutely think
we just need someone down the hall to get his balls when they roll down there
to pull that off. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I know a bunch of cheerleaders who could probably do that. My daughter cheered, and there are some girls where you look at them, you're going, how is it physically possible that you can do that?
I mean, lot of core strength, too, though. Yes. That's not just flexibility.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I got both of those.
All right, we're ready for the clips. Here we go. The legal drama Just Mercy tells the true story of Brian Stevenson as he takes on the high-profile case of the wrongfully imprisoned Walter McMillan. In this clip, Michael B. Jordan talks about the impact that the film would have had on McMillan. Here we go.
I think just the entire thing, man. Like, how do you feel? Like, how does that... you know, we did this for you. Hopefully we made you proud. You know, hopefully we did your story justice.
Anyway.
Just Mercy is in theaters nationwide today, as we mentioned earlier. Here's the next clip. Magnum P.I. follows a former Navy SEAL who repurposes his skills to be a private investigator. Here, Jay Hernandez explains what he wants to bring to the role of Thomas Magnum.
For Magnum, it's like this kind of easygoing charm, just, you know, kind of person that both guys and girls want to hang out with. I mean, I think that's kind of what Tom Selleck embodied, so it's something that I try to bring to the character.
Oh, God, I love you.
I wonder what... So it's a brand new episode of Magnum P.I.?
Yeah, the series has been on for a couple of years now.
Oh, has it really?
Yeah. I had no idea.
I was going to say, I wonder what kind of car they're going to give him, you know, because Magnum had the Ferrari.
Yeah, he's got a Ferrari, yeah.
All right. Well, he is... he's got another show, Magnum P.I., on CBS tonight at 9 p.m.
Was he original Magnum Navy SEAL, a former Navy
yes.
SEAL?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, in fact, if you remember in the opening credits, they would show him in his Navy... Whites.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. You're right. All right. And that is what we have in the entertainment report this morning. All right. Why don't we take a break? Come back in a moment. We are going to have in the studio Patrick Warburton, Putty of Seinfeld fame. Great, great guest. Wonderful interview. We're going to spend some time with him in the 8 o'clock hour. Speaking of the 8 o'clock hour, right as close to 8 as we can get it. Easy money, $1,000, your chance to win, and other chance to win some stuff as we go through the course of the day. We'll be back in a moment. Make sure you stay with us.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Huxley. Celebrating our area's best talent.
Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community.
Hear and see more at WMMR.com, keyword Local Shots. Huxley, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month.
Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family.
93.3 WMMR.
Everything that rocks.
I noticed some stuff this morning.
Holy crap!
Definitely, I'm putting on the mask. I'm going to be the noticer.
The noticer.
The first thing that I noticed...
That was quick.
I did not set my alarm last night.
Notice you didn't set his alarm.
Very rare occasion, and so these guys had to wake me up. I got an extra hour and 15 minutes sleep, but I don't feel like I feel lousy today.
Did you notice what time I called?
No, I didn't.
It was 2 minutes earlier than the...
I call a quarter after, you know, because that's our thing. That gives you enough time to get here.
Yeah.
Because we are both... absolutely committed to making sure we get prep time.
Yeah.
And so I did a few minutes early because I felt this didn't feel right. Yeah, yeah.
Well, the one thing, and I notice it every time that I do happen to have an occasion where I come into work late, is you people who are listening right now who are in your car and you drive in rush hour traffic deserve a medal.
Because
it's just the worst.
And they deserve Purple Hearts.
Yeah, and it was, you know, like 5:20 by the time I got on the road, which is still pretty damn early considering the morning commute, like what's going on right now. And I was already at my wit's end. I hated it. I hated every second of it. And, you know, we're on the road in the 4 o'clock hour to get to work here. It's a breeze.
I mean,
no question. But
it's Lyft drivers and perverts.
Trade-off is you got to get up at 4 a.m.
Yeah.
In order to have a breeze of a drive-in. But it was just, I hated every second of it. Aggressive drivers, people driving like a-holes, not knowing the merging rules and all this stuff. And that was at 5:20 this morning.
So I have a question, and I don't know what the answer is, which is why I'm asking it. A lot of people that I notice on the hour that we're driving in the morning are contractors, and I'm wondering if they're going to their jobs or if contractors have to go to like some kind of office first, and then I don't know why contractors have to be up as early as we do. And I'm just putting that out there because I know a lot of contractors listen to the
show. More often than not, they're going directly to the site.
Yeah,
right?
that early?
Well,
if you're a contractor and you show up at like somebody's house at 7 in the morning, are they...
Well, there's regular, you know, commercial sites and things like that.
I guess.
It also depends on your job. There are guys that go to the site where all of the equipment is kept. They got to pick up the truck. They got to pick up all the equipment, drive it to the site. So it depends on your job.
All right. That's why I asked.
So I don't have normal road rage in the morning because I don't really rage at other drivers and cars and stuff like that. So I want to ask you guys.
Beat yourself up.
No, well, I want to ask you guys if you guys internally rage like this. What really sets me off is catching lights where there is no traffic coming the other way.
You know how to play the lights in your neighborhood?
Steve, I can't. In fact, I actually had to switch my route because a new light started happening. I used to come down through like Havertown, and I used to catch this light at right in front of St. Dennis Church, and there was nothing I could do about it. So now I just go down Route 1, and I you know, out of the 5 days of the week, at least two or three of the days, I get stuck. There are two lights in front of a shopping center. I get stuck at least one, probably both of them. And there's no, the shopping center's closed.
I can't really relate to it. I take mainly interstate to get here. So
okay.
I don't rage on the traffic light.
May I suggest something, Casey? Mm. The soothing music of Enya.
Mm. Orinoco Flow.
Orinoco Flow.
If that doesn't do it for you,
yeah.
I don't know what. But anyway, listen, you guys and who are dealing with people. on the road, I feel for you.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to do
there's,
it. You
there's
do,
pros and cons to both sides. On the other side, you got to get up at
3:45. Ridiculous. Yeah. So, anyway, that was a personal noticement.
The noticer noticed something personal.
Is noticement a word?
Noticement, well, right now it is.
Thank you.
Is Bloody Murray a drink?
Well, yes. Right. So the noticement is a word. All right, how about this? I noticed this story the other day. A proposed law in Virginia could expand an open container alcohol law to smaller shopping centers. Right now, only 4 shopping centers in Virginia actually let people buy a drink at a restaurant or bar and then go walking around with the drink in a special cup as they shop.
So, Kathy, you could conceivably walk around Target with a glass of wine.
That's great.
You do like that?
Yes.
Okay.
I wonder, well, I assume it's in specific areas, right? Obviously, you'd have to, as you said, you have a, this could be the road to folly if this goes completely... Across all the store, you know.
Well, the only thing is, you have to drink in a special cup. So, see,
not out of a bottle in a bag.
Well, you have to purchase it there.
All right.
So you got to buy it from a restaurant or bar. So, you can't have a little shopping cart with your six pack in, and you're popping them as you're going along.
Hey, it's good. Just shopping over here. Can you do lines as you walk around?
Only developments on at least 25 acres can apply for what's called the commercial lifestyle center license.
Ooh.
The idea is.
Weird.
To help the brick-and-mortar businesses compete with online sellers. So they've added booze as an enticement for you to go out and shop.
They're flat-out stating that, which I think actually, though, yes. Then I support it. If you're making it more of a, if you're enhancing the shopping experience. Preston, what if they allowed you to walk around with a turkey leg?
You probably can.
Yeah.
You probably can.
There are some places, though, that specifically forbid you coming in.
With food?
With food and drink.
That's a good question. I haven't had that experience in a long time. I do remember as a kid, like, you couldn't take food into stores.
Right.
What if it's your
support turkey leg? You know, well, like you bring a support animal in.
Yeah, it's got a little vest that it wears.
Dead animal that you're eating.
I don't know what I haven't been asked to not bring food or drink into an establishment.
I'm always leery if I walk into a place, if I have a cup of coffee or something, and I mm-hmm. I'll stay outside.
Well, it kind of went away.
Let's imagine you have a full plate of nachos and you go into Hermes.
Right, yeah.
However you pronounce that place.
What's this color again?
Yeah.
I don't think that would be okay.
I'm sorry. I got rib sauce on it.
No, but I was going to say, like, places like, the coffee shops or, like, the little delis or whatever inside of stores like Target, like, that takes it away because you can buy the food right there and walk around with it.
Exactly.
Huh. I'm down with this idea.
But booze, beer, wine.
I love it.
Cocktails.
Combining drinking and shopping.
Come on.
I mean, listen, it would be terrible for my credit card, but I would make a night of it. I'd be like, I'm going out tonight.
Well, we used to do the men's shopping night where we would take a bunch of guys, King of Prussia Mall, we did it several times.
Yeah.
And we'd start off by going to the brewery that used to be there, and we'd have a few drinks go around. And then some of the establishments would actually have beer and wine.
Were you allowed to drink in the mall, though?
I mean,
like the regular...
You had to drink it in the store.
You weren't?
I don't remember walking around the mall with an open beer. I don't think you could do that.
I kind of feel like I remember seeing you with a beer walking from store to store.
Yeah.
A friend of mine recently told me that she, if you go out, you drink, you take photos, and the next morning you're looking at your photos, you're like, wow, I don't remember taking that photo. She said that she will get confirmation emails, and the next morning she'll wake up and she'll be like, what did I buy?
Oh,
and
no.
she like buys tons of clothes and shoes. Like after she's had a couple glasses of wine, doesn't remember.
They made six-headed versions.
Wow. Okay.
A couple glasses of wine. Like what else is she doing? That she's
getting that hammered.
Yeah. Ludes.
What?
Just a couple of glasses of wine will get her to
I don't know. Maybe she's drinking a bottle. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, okay. All right, so anyhow, this is in Virginia. They're working on that. So
interesting.
That. All right, let's see what else I notice.
More from the noticer. He never stops noticing.
I noticed.
A little late this morning, so he's not quite on his game.
I know, it's true, man. So with the pending military activity that's been taking place, there are... you know, people that are concerned about another war taking place in the Middle East. And believe it or not, scammers are taking advantage of this. A new trend sees scammers texting people saying that they've been drafted by the military.
Oh, my God.
And need to report for immediate departure to Iran.
So last night, I arrive at Paris Island. I get out and I slap my forehead. I'm like, oh, no. It was fake.
The messages are all fake. Of course, this is a... who sent this information out? Anyhow, this is a quote. It says, the messages are all fake. The U.S. Army released a statement. Here we go. Confirming that they are all fake on Tuesday. An expert also pointed out to USA Today that the U.S. military has been volunteer-based for nearly 50 years, with the exception of a selective service system that keeps tabs on men ages 18 to 26. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you still, you had to register when I was a teenager.
Yep, yes, absolutely.
They used to run commercials. Don't forget to register when you turn 18. You could do it at the post office.
There was
register for selective service.
I'm a bit older, and there was a chance at a certain point that I was going to fight in the War of 1812, and I was very frightened.
I'll bet you were.
You know, but I just missed the lottery.
The system wouldn't be used to involuntarily conscript people into service unless Congress drafted legislation to do so. But I don't know what the scam is. I don't know why they're... maybe it's just to scare people, just to have, just to be a douchebag.
Yes, yeah, the douchebag factor is high when this stuff happens. You know, but that's... I was seeing... it's funny. I was seeing on social media people saying, I got something in the mail, or I got an email saying I've been ordered to report. Really?
Oh, come on. So there are actually people faking the draft, believe
right.
it or not. All right. Notice this story because it was left.
Noticer keeps noticing. He's the hardest noticer you're ever gonna notice.
It was left out here. Casey left this one for
me. Oh, really?
So I really don't know what it's all about.
Notice that Casey left this for him.
Yeah, teens don't get enough sleep in the United States for a variety of reasons, but University of Rochester researchers have a simple solution to this issue. A consistent bedtime enforced by parents.
For your teenagers?
Teenager. When teens aged 14 to 17 went to bed at a consistent time, they were found to sleep longer. Another interesting find, even screen time and caffeine consumption did not significantly affect teens' sleep duration.
Quick question.
Yeah.
If you were to attempt, you have teenagers.
It's impossible.
Right.
Yeah.
So you can send them to their, you can have them, I'd like you to go to your bedroom at this time.
Yeah.
How do you possibly make sure they're asleep at a certain time?
Mine stay up ridiculously late.
Oh, do they?
Oh, yeah.
I was a teenager.
2-3 o'clock in the morning.
Sure. I'd go to bed, but I'd be up till, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
If I were to critique my parenting, I think the main thing I would critique is my enforcement of going to bed at a decent hour, especially like during school. Like during school, I try to get them in bed or getting ready for bed around 9:30. The thing is, like, they do things late now, you know, like all the practices end up being later and all that sort of
stuff.
That's
a crock of crap, all those. You're constantly driving around shuttling your kids to all these practices.
Yeah, but I'll miss it someday, you know.
Couldn't you just abandon them?
But I mean, we had a basketball game last night. Didn't get home until after 9 o'clock. No, it was like after 8:30, but either way.
Yeah.
It's, you know, kind of late. Nick, what's Ben's bedtime?
We urge 9:30, but, you know, same thing. A lot of activities, piano, soccer, whatever else. There is the movement, and it is gaining steam, of later start times for school. And so there are several schools in this area that have pushed their start time back to, I think, 8:30.
That's going to be bad. I mean,
well, so there's this ripple effect from that, because especially in the winter sport time, kids are at school throughout the entire day without any access to daylight. So they'll go to school at 8:30 in the morning, and then if they have winter sports, they take the school bus home, the sports bus home, late at night, and then they have homework then they have to do. Then they have dinner and shower and all the normal things that you have to do at the end of the day. It shifts everything back. So I'm wondering, the design is so that kids get more sleep at night, but I'm wondering if the ripple effect will be that they actually get less sleep.
There's actually studies shown that kids are doing better in school when they do a later start time.
And I think
in high schools.
I think that's a great idea. There have to be effects. Will kids end up staying up later?
I remember clearly when we were first starting to get the show up and running, when we were at Y100, going into work in the dark and going home in the dark.
Yeah, exactly.
And it, Nick, to the point of throwing off your rhythm, your whole deal, it does. Yeah. It begins to F with you after a while.
By the way, here's a text from, it says, "Hey, Preston, as a 16-year-old in the car with her mom, seriously, dude, shut up."
That's funny. That is very funny. Kath, that study is interesting, but, I mean, does the study... I mean, is there like a double blind going on there? Like, are they making some students go to bed at a decent hour? Or is
are they keeping some students up for weeks on end?
I mean, I understand what Nick is saying, but at least in the educational world, the studies have shown that these kids are coming to school, they're more rested, and they're doing better in school. What they do when they go home, I would imagine that means that they are not staying up later, but I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah. What was your bedtime as a kid, Preston?
I don't know. I don't remember. Maybe 10 o'clock or something like that.
I was always negotiating as a teenager.
But listen, just waking up, even if you get a full night's sleep, let's say you went to bed at, I don't know, 7 p.m. or whatever, and you still got up at 3, it's hard. The earlier, the more difficult it is, I think. No, even if you've gotten a full 8 hours of sleep, it's just as human beings, our circadian rhythm, as Dr. Mike would tell you, is,
which is that
we're not really supposed to be up way before this.
We're not.
Sometimes I will get 8 hours of sleep, and I'm like, how am I still tired? But it's just because it's 4 o'clock in the morning.
I assume you get up, you make a full breakfast for the family, correct?
Bacon, sausage, waffles, the whole thing.
What are your thoughts on dosing your kids with melatonin in order to get them to go to bed at a decent hour?
I think propofol is the way to go.
Yeah, seriously.
Listen, melatonin is natural. I mean,
you're not supposed to give it to your kid every night to go to sleep.
No, I didn't say every night. I just said, what are your thoughts on dosing them with melatonin to get them to go to bed at a decent hour?
I have a friend whose kids would not sleep. One son would just not go to sleep, and Casey, they would dose him every night with Benadryl.
I remember you telling me about
this. Now you're talking!
Yeah. No, but dude, Benadryl's... Don't go down that road. It's messed up, and it's the only way they could get him to go to sleep was that every single night.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And I think that's a terrible parenting decision. However, it wasn't my kid who was staying up all night.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that. You can run a hose with perforations in it from your exhaust pipe into their...
That'll knock them out.
Yeah, it won't kill them, but it'll put them into a semi-lucid coma.
The study co-author said, even though adolescents start gaining self-sufficiency and independence, they still need to sleep and might not prioritize that if left to their own devices.
It's funny when you think about throughout your life, Preston, when I was doing stand-up comedy, I would be getting home at the time I now wake up. So the way things shift around, and the whole concept of doing, I burst out laughing when the concept of doing a morning show was presented to me for the first time. Are you kidding?
I told you when I joined the band Saint, and we have been rehearsing for weeks, and then the gig was coming up. I'm like, okay, so what time's the gig? And they're like, it's like 9, and we'll get done around 12:30 or around 1 a.m. And I was like, oh my god! I'm like, I forgot. It's late night, and then you got to pack all the crap up, and I'm not home till 2:30 in the morning.
Routinely, my time, and when I had like a 9 to 5, it was in radio, but I was doing production and comedy bits and stuff. I had sort of a set schedule. Routinely, I would put on a movie like at 11:30 at night on Sunday night and watch it. That would be, and go to bed at like 2 o'clock, and then wake up the next morning. It was a lot more. But that concept is alien to me now.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, the band's playing next Friday at the Trap Tavern.
Let's get the official sound effect, please.
Oh, we don't have. I'm sorry. Oh, can we get that, please? Yes, Saint next Friday at Trap Tavern. Is it going to take a moment?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, an official announcement. Saint is playing again.
The Trap Tavern next Friday. Here it is. Thank you. Come out if you can. All right, let me notice something else here. This was I should have done this after the drinking and shopping thing because it ties in with the shopping. But Pier 1 Imports is closing nearly half of its stores.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Pier 1 is falls sort of like...
It's overrated.
What?
I love Pier 1.
Which you like better? And I don't even know if they're around. Restoration Hardware?
No, Pier 1.
Pier Restoration,
1? No, Pier 1 is good for, like, I mean, like, okay, so for instance, every year after the holidays are over, I go to Pier 1 to check out their sales. But that's what they, that's
and
what
they
I
let
love.
You drink there.
No, but my entire, not my entire Christmas tree, a lot of my Christmas tree comes from Pier 1.
Okay.
So things like that. They're little, like, tchotchkes, knickknacks. I used to have all my plates and things like that from there. I don't anymore. They're now from Pottery Barn, but yeah.
Pottery Barn, that's what I was thinking of. Pottery Barn, Pier 1. Restoration Hardware.
When I think Pier 1, I think wicker.
Yes, like, that's
wicker
what I
is
think
the first
of.
Thing that comes to mind.
I mean, they have some, like, wicker chairs and stuff.
Do they have wicker toilets?
Uh-huh.
I would like.
No, but Pier 1 is a more affordable version of what you're talking about, like Pottery Barn and Restoration Hardware. It's not expensive like those stores.
To me, those are always places I could go into and go, okay, this is pretty cool. It's got some cool stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
It's less expensive because it's cheaper material. I've had a couple bad experiences.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, you have? Yeah. I mean, listen, I would not buy furniture from them. That's not something I would purchase there.
Did.
Yeah, no. That's where you made your mistake.
What are the ones, Kathy, in the TJ Maxx family? Like Home Goods? Or there's...
Home Sense, Home Goods.
Yeah.
And then...
Home Slice.
Home Slice.
What it is. Home Slice.
What it is, Homes.
So it says here that Pier 1 has been struggling to compete with cheaper home decor sites like Wayfair.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with Wayfair?
My dining room is Wayfair.
I've gone on the website, and everyone raves about Wayfair. Are you a fan?
I do, yes, I like it. I mean, you're ordering online. I mean, I'm ordering big pieces of furniture online that I'm not seeing, so you're taking a chance on it.
And it's good stuff when you get it?
Yeah, I mean, everything that I've ordered was good. I mean, I had a few...
Are there praying mantis nests in it when you...
I had a few issues with some things that were delivered. Something was chipped. I mean, I called right away. They offered to discount me or come and pick it up and send me another one. So, I've been happy with them so far.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on Overstock.com?
You know what, Case? I always check there. Mm-hmm. I don't think that I've actually ever purchased from there.
What do you think about Pornhub.com?
Well, it depends on your mood,
Hey, you know, my friend was telling me that X-Hamster has been like... there's
off
been like
game?
Well, a little bit. Like, they've been getting buggy things where it says, oh, your phone has been, you know, hijacked or whatever.
Cool. What about Pier 1? How many stores around here are going to stay open?
So they're going to be closing up to 450 stores. Wow, Casey was really soloing for a moment there on porn sites. But I got you. 942 locations overall, and about half of them are going to be shutting down. So I don't know how many around here are going to be closing.
Okay.
Did we report on the fact that, talking about commercial business, that Toys R Us is... coming back and it has started to come back?
Yeah, we talked about that.
Okay.
When they started to turn
right,
back to that.
Right, in mall stores.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, like so remember what KB used to be?
Oh, yeah.
That's what
they're coming back as
but
that.
Who owns them? Did someone...
Pornhub.
X-Hamster tried, but they're having some technical
issues. Some buggy
issues.
Come on!
Pier 1 reported a net loss for the quarter that ended at the end of November, and it was a net loss of $59 million. So,
a lot of these cases, because, you know, as the economy changes and people, I hate to say, I do support brick and mortar when I can. I love that aspect of things. Yeah. But Preston, talking about going back to your original story about allowing people to walk around and have wine or drink while they're shopping, these are the things that are going to have to happen for people to be, you know, lured back to the stores.
Yep. All right. Let me notice one more thing, and this is a quickie.
A quickie from the noticer.
Yes. Let's see here. University of Oklahoma researchers found that people who are religious and worship more than once a week own an average of 1.4 cats, while people who are atheists have an average of 2 cats.
What? So
what
the more
hell
cats
am I?
You have,
I have 9
God,
cats.
Yeah. That means you.
I'm a devil worshiper. Yes.
The study leader, Samuel Perry, says that in some ways a pet is a substitute for human interaction, and that cats are very godlike and can be a substitute for church for those who are atheists.
You know, my wife and I were talking about this because I genuinely love people, and I love all that aspect. But sometimes people who get involved with a lot of pet stuff can be not too good with people.
Okay.
And
that makes sense.
And that's a thing that, you know, that that where they go, and I don't mean that to belittle them. It's just it can be a character aspect of people who do that.
Well, yeah,
I think you have to find a healthy balance between.
It's a legitimate form of affection that a bond that you get with this animal,
right.
But you don't get the complexities of human interaction.
Right.
And if people are bad with that, then I can see that is a replacement,
right.
and it's probably healthy for that person to have that relationship.
No doubt.
So they cats. It says here cats are very godlike. He explains that cats only give affection on their own terms, which means that owners, which is true. Yeah, they're very, very independent. They end up serving cats. The owners end up serving cats
for dinner.
No, not for dinner. But it makes the pets very godlike in those characteristics, as in they do it on their own terms, and you serve the animal, not the other way around. And so that's their, I don't know, that's how they deduct this.
It's funny because, I mean, you know, all those dynamics come into play. They're a little bit more complex in their relationship.
Dude, so my sister has an incredibly tight bond. She has possibly, I call him the greatest cat in the world, Tiger. I love this cat, and I've owned several cats in my life, and he's just the sweetest, most affectionate, coolest cat I've ever experienced. He's losing weight. He's old. It's starting to happen, most likely, because I've had two cats that lived a very, very advanced age, and they get thinner, and they start to, you know, it's coming. It is going to destroy her. She has clearly admitted this over the years that when he's gone, I'm going to go crazy. So it's starting to happen. I'm like, oh, my God, here we go.
I
don't know, you know.
There's no hard and fast rule to this. Is it possible that she bring in a friend for him, like a kitten now or something?
I probably wouldn't suggest that, but she will get another. She'll get another cat when Tiger passes, I'm sure. When we brought in, you know, some company for one cat and bought our second cat. They hated each other their entire lives. Mm-hmm. Hated each other. And I'm like,
yeah, you
and
know
we
what?
Were committed, you know.
That's why we did two at the same time, because that happened to me as well. I brought my cat home from college to, you know, my parents' cat, and they hated each other their entire lives. So I was like, if I get cats again, I'm doing two at the same time.
We have nine that pretty much all get along. The truth is,
no choice.
Yeah, as long as you're providing food and enough boxes, they'll be fine. But if you have one cat and then you add another cat or another dog, they'll both live longer. The more you have, you know, at least two animals, they statistically will live longer. They're more engaged.
Well, mine lived into their 20s, by the way. So just to let you know.
Which is a damn good run for
it's
cats.
It's a ridiculously long run. And
how old is your sister's cat?
Tiger 51. Is probably, he's a teenager. He's, you know, 13, something like that, 14. So he's in that zone, you know, but anyhow, pets are great. But if you have a lot of cats, you may be an atheist. So, or at least atheists have two cats.
I have a religious aspect to me. I just worship Satan.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Thank you for allowing me to notice these things and share these noticed items with you. Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. Some bizarre file stories are on the way, as well as your first opportunity to win money on the show. We have easy money. $1,000 is our prize to give away. Patrick Warburton will be here shortly after 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that experience as well. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Happy New Year.
It's great when people wish you a Happy New Year, right?
Happy New Year to you.
Well, MMR wishes you an Happy New Year and invites you to download the latest version of the MMR app. It keeps you up to date with everything that rocks and allows you to take MMR along wherever travels in the new year may lead. It's easy to use, as well as Apple CarPlay and Android Auto compatible. And of course, it's free. Whether it's older software or you got a brand new phone, get the latest version of the MMR app on Google Play or the iTunes Store. Or text APP to 39333.
Message and data rates may apply.
So, Happy New Year from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Two things. We have a couple of minutes before it's officially 8 o'clock, and we'll get to the easy money announcement. Monday morning,
We announced the MM Barbecue, I've been told, right? So the details are coming. Everybody's been texting, asking, why haven't we heard yet? Well, they were waiting on some last-minute bookings to take place. Apparently, the word is everything is sewn up. There might be a couple of more things taken care of, but Monday we should have the information you've been looking for. Dates on sale, hopefully the bands, you know, we'll have all that stuff.
So. I had a blast. Last year, if you remember, I believe we had possibly the best weather ever for a Cardboard Classic.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly the best weather ever for an barbecue. And it was just an awesome time.
We're hoping for a good year. And listen, you mentioned Cardboard Classic. Today is Day Off on the Slopes.
Yeah, it is.
At Jack Frost. And Jackson and Pierre Robert and company will all be there today. And apparently the weather has been great for snowmaking, Nick, you were saying.
Yeah, yesterday and last night were fantastic. So if you're going up there or you're already there, you're going to have great conditions throughout the day. And then it's going to get kind of crummy at the end of the day, but who cares?
That's when it closes up.
Going for the party with Jackson.
Yeah. Yep.
So that event, we'll check in with Pierre, hopefully from the E2000 Lounge, and see.
He's already up there doing prep.
I'm sure he's been up there for, as soon as he left his show yesterday.
Well, he's a snow machine technician.
Right, right. So they need him. They can't actually get it together without him. All right, it is, it's 8 a.m. We can do this. Let's get to the Monday.
93.3 WMMR, Easy Money.
Listen up, friend, because I'm going to give you a word that could net you $1,000. The word is gain, G-A-I-N, and you have until 8:15 to enter it via text to our special contest short code number, which is 45911. Or you can enter it using the MMR mobile app or via the contest page, WMMR.com. You do it one of those two ways, you'll be entered for a $10,000 grand prize. And you'll get a call if you're randomly selected in this Beasley Nationwide contest and win $1,000. Complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com. Remember, the word is gain, G-A-I-N. So good luck from Meineke and 93.3 WMMR.
Now, WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Our Bizarre File this morning is brought to you by, Jack Frost and Big Boulder Ski Areas. JFBB is open for a winter full of snow and fun. You can save big when you purchase lift tickets in advance at JFBB.com. JFBB. Where the snow comes first. Let's start with a Florida woman. She was arrested for threatening to rob a McDonald's because they didn't serve dipping sauce along with her food.
Florida woman.
McGuire Marie McLaughlin was denied the condiment at McDonald's in Vero Beach last week.
And why would they deny her the condiment?
Well, they don't even have dipping sauce, do they?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, if you get nuggets, they've got loads of dipping sauces.
Oh, do they? Yeah. I'm not a nugget dude.
Yeah, so she apparently, let me see here.
What's up with this chick?
She was denied the condiment at McDonald's last week and pledged to obtain the dipping sauce by, quote, whatever means necessary, according to a police report. Yeah,
earlier
she was.
Today I was in and I tried to get dipping sauce.
On Malcolm
I
X.
A special set of skills.
She invoked Malcolm X in her dipping sauce issue. The fracas allegedly took place at about 4 a.m. New Year's Day when police arrived to witness McLaughlin yelling profanities at the drive-thru because she claimed she did not receive all of her food. The employee advised McLaughlin that dipping sauce cost 25 cents.
What?
So McLaughlin further stated that she would be getting the sauce by whatever means necessary, however, could not specify what she meant by that. The McDonald's employee
said, I'm talking nuclear.
They feared for their safety. McLaughlin was taken into custody for disorderly conduct. She needed to be placed into mechanical restraints by the arresting officer. Because she apparently kept locking her legs, refusing to walk forward.
No.
Cops said they also smelled alcohol on her breath, by the way. She's underage. She's 19. So
I was in the car with a couple where there was almost a domestic dispute over dipping sauce at Wendy's.
Seriously?
Yes.
Between the two of them?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Because he drove away without looking in the bag to see if her honey mustard was there. And it ended in him screaming, you had to have the effing honey mustard. And we were in the back seat just cracking up.
You had to have been.
This is amazing.
Have you ever gotten close to getting into a fast food fight of any kind?
I'm sure I have. I'm sure that I have. By the way, I bought Rochelle for Christmas this little attachment that hooks onto the vent on your air conditioning that will hold your dipping sauce for you.
Oh. That's hilarious.
Yeah, so you don't have to take your hands off the wheel. You just put it
that
right
is
in
great.
There. It's pretty awesome.
I bought something that turns my cup holders into a spittoon.
Oh. Yeah, nice. A woman angry about long lines at a New Jersey Motor Vehicle Commission office smashed computer equipment, assaulted two staffers, and kicked police officers as they tried to arrest her.
Dipping sauce again?
Shauna Joseph of Jersey City was told to leave the office in Bayonne after she became irate over the length of the line for customers. She then returned about 2 hours later and caused another disturbance.
By whatever means necessary.
When she was confronted during the second visit, Joseph pushed the office manager and began breaking computer equipment, eventually causing about $23,000 in damage overall. The manager and a security guard struggled to remove Joseph from the office, and she repeatedly punched both of them. Police soon arrived, and as they and the security guard tried to restrain Joseph, she repeatedly kicked the officers while they attempted to handcuff her.
No. Well, so what did this office handle?
It was a motor vehicle commission.
Okay.
So, Joseph was later found to have PCP-laced marijuana cigarettes in her possession. She was charged with criminal mischief, drug possession, aggravated assault, and hindering apprehension. The office manager suffered an undisclosed injury and was treated at a hospital.
Maybe fast response police teams should have dipping sauces in the car, Preston.
Here's another story out of New Jersey. Authorities are investigating a phony, listen to this, a phony Megan's Law notification letter. Received Wednesday at businesses, homes, and schools in Howell, New Jersey, that falsely named a local business owner as a sex offender.
Wow.
And wait till you hear the reason behind this. Police posted an alert on social media about the bogus sex offender report, which was sent through the mail in official-looking State of New Jersey envelopes bearing an attorney general's office mailing address in Trenton. And the police said the person named in this letter is not subject to any type of investigation, prosecution, or conviction of any offense related to Megan's Law. At first, this letter may seem real. However, upon examination, it is poorly written and constructed. We believe this letter was sent in retaliation for operating a successful business and to prevent further growth opportunities.
Wow.
There was somebody who didn't like
a competitor.
It was probably a competitor. The department did not release further details on the suspected motive. Police are also alerted federal authorities as part of their investigation into the source of the mailing. So, yeah,
what a cheap shot.
Some federal crimes for that. A man allegedly told his new wife to kill her ex-partner had a to-do list in his phone that included household chores and what to do with a dead body, the court has heard.
It was a we guess what I get to-do list.
Bianca Edmonds is charged with murder because police allege that she had her husband of 2 weeks drive from Shepparton to the Melbourne home of her ex-partner to kill him. This is in Australia. Ms. Edmonds pleaded not guilty. Her barrister told the hearing that Glenn Cassidy, her new husband, had a list in the notes section of his phone. It included personal chores, but also what to do with the dead body.
Wow.
And a reference to one round. Prosecutors say Mr. Cassidy had a gun when he forced his way into Michael Compensia's home and shot him during the struggle. During the fight, Mr. Compensia stabbed Mr. Cassidy. Both of them died from their injuries.
Jeez.
Mr. Compensia's girlfriend was also in the house that night and was not was also injured. But a day before the fatal struggle, Mr. Capacia had driven to visit the son he and Ms. Edmonds had while they were in a relationship. So that's pretty scary stuff.
There's been more than a number of times when someone has had searches in their Google search history approved that they were looking at how to get rid of a body, how to rob a bank.
Yep. One last story. A man claims someone stole his cheeseburger off a motel nightstand in Benton, Arkansas. This has all kinds of great elements in this story. Right. Listen to this. So it's in Arkansas.
Right there.
And an attempt to solve the alleged hamburglary, Keegan Byers had filed a report with the police. According to the report, Byers informed the officer that he purchased two cheeseburgers at a nearby gas station. He reportedly ate one of the burgers and then placed the other one on the nightstand at the Trout Motel.
The Trout Motel in Arkansas.
When Byers woke up hours later, he said the cheeseburger was gone.
Dear Mother of God.
There was another person sleeping in the room at the time. That individual spoke to police but claimed that they did not touch the cheeseburger.
No, I didn't touch it.
The officer noted in a report that Byers was extremely intoxicated at the time of the incident. So,
any arrest made?
No, okay, arrest. But a report was filed, and that guy didn't do it. The only other person in the room didn't do it. All right, and there you go. That's what I got in the beef aisle. Speaking of food, I do have our friends from Godshall's Turkey Bacon who are here with us this morning. They've given us six packs of coupons giveaway for six full-size packages of Godshall's Turkey Bacon. We'll take callers 8 and 9 at 215-263-WMMR, and they want to remind you to keep that New Year's resolution with bacon. Make Godshall's Turkey Bacon a part of your healthy plan. And you can get recipes, by the way, at godshalls.com. So give us a call and we'll set you up. 215-263-WMMR is the number. We're going to take a break. Don't forget, you have a little less than 5 minutes or roughly 5 minutes to enter the word GAIN for easy money. You need to send that word GAIN, G-A-I-N, to our contest short code number 45911.
Yeah.
Or you can enter at the MMR mobile app or the contest page at WMMR.com. That way you'll be entered for a $10,000 grand prize. You got a couple minutes left, so get on that. We're going to take a break. Scheduled to have Patrick Warburton when we return. Stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Let's see here. What was I going to mention? Oh, yeah. We made mention a little while ago that MMRBQ details are coming up. We're going to get those on Monday.
Very cool.
Yeah. And excited to pass that along information because it always means that that spring and summer are just a stone's throw away.
Gives you something to focus on as you go through the cabin fever months.
Yeah, exactly. And also, Day Up on the Slopes is happening today. We have a save the date for the Cardboard Classic, which is, essentially this event today plus one, a little added thing, the Cardboard Classic.
Yeah.
And that is, it's always the first Friday in March.
Yeah, it's the 6th.
Is it the 6th?
Yep.
Okay, so we want you to make sure you get yourself prepared for that event, even if you're headed up to Day Off on the Slopes today. Get ready for the Cardboard Classic. I've been doing a major cleaning out project in my house, and I'm just going through things and trying to organize and purge. And one of the things I've set aside is I've got a bin that is just photos. So I'm finding pictures all over the house.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And I'm just throwing them into this one spot so I have them there. And they're, you know, photos that have just, you know, on a bookshelf or whatever. And they've been placed there and been sitting there for years and just never got to. And I found some old, old pictures of the Cardboard Classic.
Really?
Back before the things started getting outrageous. And it was... It's so much fun.
It started big, but it's increased exponentially.
Yeah, this was before the artistic nature and how unbelievably crafted these things are.
Do you have any pictures of the bonfire that we remember?
No.
We used to before.
I regretted the moment that the flames went up.
JP Mascaro would take away the cardboard. We decided, hey, it'd be cool to have a big bonfire.
Yeah, and burn it all.
We created a second sun in the parking lot.
It melted so much snow
around. It melted us.
Yeah. Preston, when you get the cameras back, the disposable cameras that you found, do you take them to CVS already?
I took them in day before yesterday. Be about 10 days or so before
that long?
Back. Yeah.
Wow. What if the cops show up at your house?
They have to send them off.
Okay.
Because they don't have those big printing machines there anymore.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
They have digitally, you can do all that stuff. But this has actual film in it, so it's got to go get processed. So, yeah, I dropped off I had 17 cameras all together.
Jesus.
But I dropped off 12 of them that haven't developed.
It's very exciting. What could be in there, you know?
I have no idea. They're going to be lame, I'm sure, but it doesn't matter.
What if you find extra pictures of the Kennedy assassination?
Wouldn't that be awesome? They made disposable cameras back in the Kennedy era?
Turns out the comedian shot Kennedy.
So, I'll let you know as soon as those come back, and I will bring those in and show you guys the pictures. I am excited to see what's going on.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. All right. Hey, looks like has our guest arrived?
Our guest has arrived.
I see people milling about in the studio.
There is milling.
And we're going to welcome him over here to the microphone. I can't see where
he is. Taking out his hummus.
Is he getting undressed? What's going on?
No, he's
having a seat. Oh, there he is. Appearing at Punchline Comedy Club tonight and Saturday. By the way, the shows are at 7:30 and 9:45 p.m., which you can get at punchlinephilly.com. We are excited to welcome back to Philadelphia, back to our studios, Patrick Warburton. Yay! Is here.
Good morning.
Hey. How you doing, man?
It's great. Great to be back.
Nice to see you.
Yeah.
We were just, you know what, we're gonna do something with you a little later on concerning Pearl Jam, because we know what a fan you are. You have a very grunge look about you this morning.
You do.
Flannel, open shirt.
$15 at Costco.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. Wow. $15 at Costco is not bad. Yeah. But it looks properly frayed, you know?
Yeah, it looks is like it. Yeah, it looks
distressed,
like
as they say?
Sure, like it's had a life. Yeah, but that's what this is.
Had a life.
So we were talking, obviously, about your Pearl Jam thing, and we all follow you on social media. I think most of us do. And you have your band.
Yes.
Which is, that seems to be the joy of your life, besides your family and kids, of course.
Yes.
The name of the band?
The Bearded Pearl Clams.
Right. Yes. And how many gigs do you play on
both of them?
On average. So two gigs.
Yeah. We played a handful. We've had some fun, but you know, the first time we played was actually up in Vancouver, because I was up there working on a show, and they came up and we played there one time. And then we got an offer to play on the battleship, the USS Iowa, for a USO tour. And
oh, that's cool.
Essentially, we're opening for Vince Neil. And I go, no, I'm not. We're not ready for prime time. And so the guys from KLS Radio go, just do it. And so I go, all right. And I survived that one. But we've done a few gigs, yeah. And I'm not going to quit my day job. But
all right.
What do you play?
What
instrument do you play?
Oh, I just sing.
You just sing? Yeah. Okay. All right.
You don't do like a Davy Jones sort of tambourine thing, or
no?
Or you have a deep resonant voice. You probably don't have a big range. Can you get way up there?
Yeah, I can't. I can't hit all his high notes. Now, yeah. So
can you do the vibrato, the voice vibrato that he Eddie does?
A little bit. A little bit.
All right.
But not right. Hey, I brought the voice extra. I got my buddy Mike here, man of a thousand voices.
Mike, how
Mike
are
Wilson,
you?
Mike Wilson, nice to meet you. Yes.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
I do have a last name, so it's good. Right. Nice to get that out there on the way.
Are you on the bill with Pat? I only saw that Patrick was coming here, so we didn't know you were coming.
That's okay.
Well, we do do these letters from a nut. Now, they're written by Barry Martyr, who's Jerry Seinfeld's producing partner.
Yeah.
They do Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee together.
Yes.
But Barry's pen name is Ted L. Nancy, so he's been punking corporate America for years. So he'll write, like, you know, he'll write, you know, Coca-Cola Company. He'll say, to whom it may concern, I have a product, Diet Coke. I hope that there's no conflict with your product, Diet Coke. Doesn't taste anything alike. Mine tastes more like Pepsi.
Yeah.
I sell mine to construction workers. How much caramel are you using? And then, like, Coke Legal will write him back.
Seriously.
Oh, yeah, they're all pissed off. You absolutely have to cease and desist. So he reads the letters back in whatever voice I tell him.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so he can do it. So I say, like, you know, read, Coca-Cola back and George Costanza.
I can't believe it. I'm telling you, it sounds exactly like it. You don't think that's a conflict of interest? Would you calm down? What are you doing? You're going to upset him. I'm telling you, I can't take it anymore with this Diet Coke.
There was a guy who did that years ago. It was actually Guido Sarducci, the guy who played, you know, I forget his real name. But
Laszlo Letters.
The Laszlo Letters, yeah. Very famous. And I love when they do that because, of course, the company has to respond in a...
Yes.
Measured way, so they will entertain the notion of Kaya.
There was a follow up to that letter, because I loved Ted L. Nancy. I had the books, and he wrote back. He's like, you know what? Scratch that idea. I'm going with Piatt Dempsey.
He goes, it was a really bad idea. I'm really embarrassed about it now. I've taken my 11 cans off the shelf. My $700 are back in my room right now. And it's a really stupid idea. I'm embarrassed because I'm embarrassed. I'm really embarrassed that I ever did that. And I'm sorry that I wasted your time. But try my new product, Pipe Depsy.
And Pachter Depper.
Yeah, and again, how much caramel are you using? So he just, like, tortures them. And then he'll call him, like, 5 years later. It's been 5 years since I contacted you. I learned a lot of harsh, saw a lot of harsh things while I was incarcerated. You know, like a man ordering a last meal of chicken fried steak and a Pachter Depper.
It's hard though these days because we now have access to actual letters because of the internet and everything, of actual letters that are deadly serious.
Yes.
That are people as loony as these joke letters, and so it sometimes it's hard to rise above that and you know and be funny, but they still manage to do it. So,
yeah.
I wanted to ask you because I saw this this movie that I had no idea you were in, and I was doing a little research on it, The Woman Chaser.
Yeah.
And it was on your site. To your Twitter account. It was done in 1999. I never heard of this, but I was reading the reviews of it, yeah. And it's like a funny noir. They were likening, you know, a really... But is this movie, is it now being re-released, or is it available now?
I don't know if they're going to do anything with it yet, but there have been some great reviews recently. Like, the you know, I read one, I think it was, this might be the one you were talking about. It said, the greatest movie you've never seen. It's like
yes.
A really kind of funky film noir. It's very, very dry, very funny.
I was watching the trailer for it, and it was very... tongue-in-cheek and, yeah. And very cool, but...
It was like, very cool, very hip. Yeah.
It was like Rocky if it was a comedy.
Yeah, there you go.
Good comparison, Mike. Yeah. Just stick with the impressions. What would Eddie Murphy have to say about
man,
that?
Man, I can't believe it. I can't believe you compared Rocky to that famous movie. That's fantastic. That's lovely, sexy.
How about Chris Rock?
Yeah. I can't believe there are no black people in The Woman Chaser. Gotta put a black person in there.
Don Knotts.
Well, you know, I'm not going to sit here and do Don Knotts here on the station, you know. They probably don't even know who I am. They're too young. You know.
Barney Fife?
He's like my own personal voice.
There you go.
I just tell him, do this voice. Do that voice.
I noticed. Mike, how does that make you feel?
That makes you feel pretty good. You're paid bank. Bank.
Oh, my God. Do you, Patrick, do you do any impressions?
No.
None. Not one.
Well, no.
Not a good Carol Channing or something?
I do Raymond.
Ray Romano. Yeah, you ever use a coupon in a store? Use a coupon? You can't seem tough. 50 cents off the Cocoa Pebbles.
Hey, Raymond. I got to stand here for 5 minutes while you use every coupon. Let's just go.
Yeah, see? There you go.
Brad Garrett.
Okay.
Well, I guess I could do a little bit of the Duke. We came riding over the horse trail there.
Your register doesn't lend itself to much. Yeah, but you as you is good enough.
There you go. Well, I'm sure people do impressions of you, though, of putty.
Well, here
sure.
We go.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's not that hard. You know, we've been working a long time here. So it's been a late morning for me, and I, you know.
It's terrible. It's not very good, Mike.
I was in The Woman Chaser or something like that.
It's not even
fantastic.
Close.
Fantastic. Really good.
When did you record?
My legs don't
I've had to explain to him that people sometimes laugh out of, you know, awkwardness or it's uncomfortable. Uh-huh. Doesn't necessarily mean
why
it's
does
working.
This hurt?
No, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Why
yeah.
does it hurt you that I can do you well?
Patrick, when did you film your the intro for Soarin' down in Disney World?
About 20 years ago. That's why it looks
no
like
kidding.
My son now. I'll be standing there.
Little
kids will look
like
at me in line, and they'll be, and I'll go, "Yeah, I know. It looks like me, but a lot younger."
The sad part, he's in line like every day,
right?
Hey, look at me up there. Yeah, that's me up there. That young, good-looking guy. It's me. When I was younger. It's weird. Sad part is they don't know which one of us is talking, so I could say anything horrible.
Last time you were here, you told us about a big, huge golf tournament that you put on. Are you still doing that?
Yes. So March will be be year 10.
Yeah, okay.
This March.
Nice.
And so it's been great. We've raised $12 million for over $12 million for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital.
Wow.
Celebrities versus pros? Is that the...
No, it's not a pro-am.
Okay.
So it's just celebrities, you know. We've got two full courses.
You won, right? Did you win the tournament?
No.
You didn't?
I don't even play in mine anymore.
Oh, really?
Sort of stayed away, yeah.
You won?
Yeah, I won 1 year.
Ah.
Same year Robbie Gould won. I won the... there's two ways you can win. It can be the handicap or the non-handicap.
Yeah, gross score and net score. Yeah.
So you don't even play anymore.
It's gotten that big, right. Or
yeah, and also it's so what I do is I just stay in one hole all day, and as every group comes through, we do all of our group pictures together and
right.
splits, and it takes an hour off of us doing it that way. It takes an hour off of our big jam night because we have a concert, which is always
that's awesome.
Yeah.
And you can pay money, and you can pay money, and he'll hit your golf ball for you. And he always hits it like really in there tight because he's a really good golfer.
Are you a really good golfer?
He's such an ass.
You've done that. Come on, you. They have paid you to hit the ball. You can use yours or theirs. I think that's the way it goes, right?
The way it goes is that if you pay, then you don't have to use my shot. That's really how we've been working like so we've kind of gone opposite of pay
like
to pro.
That.
Yes.
Right. That's a good twist on it.
Yes.
You park yourself at a par three, or
yeah, it's par three.
He's being yeah. humble here,
and
he's a good golfer.
You talk about the jam. Do you get name acts that come out and play?
Yeah, so
it's a celebrity studded event.
It's pretty. Yeah, it's great, and it's really built, and it's you know we built it on the back of some of like my old buddies and friends who have come out from the beginning, like Alice Cooper and Robbie Krieger. But then we get Alex Lyson to come out, and you know from Rush.
Dude, that's so freaking awesome.
Oh yeah, we'll get like nine Rock and Roll Hall of Famers, you know, play sometimes. You know, one year we went to 1 o'clock in the morning. The last guy to walk on stage at 1 o'clock in the morning was Stephen Stills.
Wow.
You know, but it's act after act after act. So we get like Tom Johnson from the Doobie Brothers, and we'll get Mickey Thomas from Jefferson Airplane.
These are stellar names. Don Felder too.
Yeah, Don Felder. Yeah, always good.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll show it. Yeah.
That's very cool. So of them all, is Alice Cooper still the best of the golfers?
He is probably. Yeah.
Yeah.
He plays golf every day of his life. Golf saves rock and rollers' lives. At a certain point, if they survive it, they get sober. They need something to occupy their time healthy all day long, and that's what they do. They just play golf every day,
and that eats up the time.
Yeah.
Does Eddie Vedder play golf?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I think he surfs.
Throws axes. He throws axes.
Those axes, yes. Does all kinds of crazy.
Not much of a golfer.
Yeah.
Have you ever entertained the notion of taking up surfing so you might be able to meet out on a wave sometime?
Well, I did back. I grew up in Huntington Beach, so back in the day.
Were you a surfer?
Yeah, a little bit. But and then I started rowing crew in college, and that was what occupied my mornings. But
where'd you go to college?
Orange Coast College, junior college.
So, like, because I'm here because my kids are approaching like high school, and I keep hearing, and obviously that whole Varsity Blues scandal. But before that, I kept hearing that like crew is like a great way to get your kids into college with scholarships and all that sort of stuff because it's not
you just have to pay $500,000 to some guy.
Don't have to do that, yeah. But there aren't, I guess, many coxswains out there.
Yeah. Well, there aren't. Well, there's not that many needed. You just need one per boat, I guess.
Right.
But on each crew team would probably need six or seven of them, right? Yeah.
No, we had a friend, Kristen, down the hall. Right. She had never played a sport in her life, and she was going to go to Temple, and they had room on the crew team. And they said, look, you can get assistance if you join the team. And she did, and she got financial assistance to go to school. For that.
Yeah, it's grueling. It probably would have gotten me into a decent, it could have helped get me into a decent university, but I sort of just tapped out after my, you know, in the midst of my sophomore year of junior college, and that was it for me. I just wasn't doing great. I wasn't going to get into any worthwhile university.
You just took an assessment and said, okay, it's time to.
My father was so disappointed. He took me down to USD. We talked to the dean of admissions. He looked at my grades and he said, well, you pretty much have to start over.
Oh, wow.
And it had been a very quiet car ride back home. My dad didn't say anything for probably 10, 15 minutes. And I just said, Dad, it's okay. I'm going to be an actor. And it stayed quiet. You have to remember, my father was a surgeon. His father was a surgeon.
Oh my God.
His mother was a nurse, and I was his only son.
Oh,
and he's
man.
Just like, he's looking at me, and I'm in junior college getting all C's and D's because I don't give a crap, and I'm not showing up at class. And he's just like, wow, this was my one shot.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Was your mother an actress?
She was.
So, okay, well, at least you had that had some entertainment aspect. You could see it could be successful, right?
Well, but was she successful, though?
She was, but she had stopped, you know, doing it by the time she had a family, you know.
Okay.
So I saw her doing, you know, community theater. That was an inspiration for me because I literally had nowhere to go. I had no friends.
What about your kids? What are their aspirations? And how old are they, by the way?
Well, my son Talon's 27, and he's a bodybuilder, trainer, actor, voiceover artist.
Okay. Jeez.
My daughter Alexi's 26, and she's an accountant, but she's beautiful, amazingly talented, painter, artist, singer, but just has no desire whatsoever to be in front of the camera. It's the ones with all the talent that just don't give a crap. I'm like, you're just squandering it. Then my son Shane goes to American University in D.C., and he's been a pilot since he was 18 years old. And then he did a semester at sea. He's at American University graduating this year, and he's interned for congressmen and senators. But he'll find out this month if he's going to fly for the Navy or if he's going to do like a White House internship this year.
Oh, wow.
What an accomplished family.
Yeah, they're all working really hard.
That's pretty freaking
great.
They're
doing great. They're all cool. Yes. And my son Gabriel's 19, and he's an actor, and he's just super funny and charming, and I think he's got a really good shot. So they're all doing great. They're all on their own paths.
Yeah. And are you helping him in that career path?
I'm helping him as much as I can. You know, I look at them all, and I go, you know, I wish I was Brad Pitt or Tom Cruise. I could open a few more doors for you.
Yeah.
I'm just that guy.
You were the greatest tick ever, so I mean, come on.
Thank you. Yeah. That was so much fun. Yeah.
But you honestly, in entertainment and everything, you know, there's the odds against getting any sort of success is nominal, and you have, again, what I would say, why a supporting player or a character actor gets more work. You're, you know, with Family Guy and all the stuff, and a series of unfortunate events and all that. You end up in different projects, and can keep working. So I think that's the proof that you can make it work, right?
Yeah.
It's not like you're, you know, you're not Dustin Diamond, you know.
No, I've managed to, you know, eke out a living for years and get four kids through college, you know.
But that's pretty good.
Yeah. I remind them, I go, it's a very competitive field and, you know, but I won't discourage anybody from doing it these days because there's so much, you know, platform out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, when I started doing it, there were three TV channels in movies, and that was it. You know, I mean, there's a thousand shows now.
Do you have the same problem that all of us is there's too many freaking shows to watch, and you don't have the time to watch everything everybody is telling you to watch?
Yeah.
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 Or is there anything you're caught up in right now?
Yeah.
It's hard to think of.
I don't know. My wife and I just watched a 3-part documentary called Don't F with Cats, which is
great. Oh, okay.
I wanted to watch it. Was it good?
All right, I'm in part two right now.
Yes, it's good. At the same time, it's really creepy. And it's
I say, I don't know. Is it about Cats the musical or is it about what?
No, it's like a murder mystery. They come across this guy who kills a cat on like Facebook or YouTube or whatever. Yeah. And then it just sort of spirals into this crazy like murder mystery.
Yeah.
And manhunt, essentially. It's pretty crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like a real life sort of murder mystery feature film. But it's real life. Yeah.
All right. Well, hang on. I was just handed a note.
Yeah,
we only have 5 minutes left with Patrick. When did you find this out?
A little while back.
I did not know that. Well, we have a contest we got to do with you.
All
right. It's going to take longer than 5 minutes.
Yeah, but then let's get to it.
I have no idea.
Yeah. This is where we're being surprised right and left here. I don't like it.
All right. Yeah. Well, you being the diehard Pearl Jam fan, we had something planned for you. Nick McElwain here as well, diehard Pearl Jam fan. I believe last time you were here, we played the clip of Eddie talking about Nick on stage when they played in Philadelphia. So we wanted to have a battle of the Pearl Jam fans and see who indeed knows more than the other between you and Nick.
When was your first Pearl Jam show, Patrick? Do you remember?
First Pearl Jam live show I would have gone to would have been back around 2000.
All right. Well, I got you beat. 1998, I happen to be wearing the shirt today.
Ooh.
This shirt is 22 years old. Voters for choice in D.C. So,
nice.
Yeah.
All right, first thing we're going to do we have signaling buttons for you guys? All right, so you're going to have to hold it near the microphone. And let's hear it. Patrick, let's hear your signaling button, if you would, please. Nick, let's hear yours. That's lousy signaling button. All right, well, we'll do our best.
That's a little. I had it the.
All right, there we go.
All right. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to play a game called Loop. There it is. We've taken a small segment of a Pearl Jam song. We've looped it over and over and over. And if you can determine what song it is, buzz in and we'll give you a point. Okay. So here we go. This is the first song for Loop. There it is. Nick?
Yellow Ledbetter.
That is correct.
All right.
Here's the
actual. What the hell was that?
Here. It's this.
Wait, no, hold on.
Here we go.
Oh, okay.
It's right, that part looped over and over. All right, next one. Here we go.
Wait. All right, here we go.
This is your next one. Oh, wait. Is it that case? Wait, should be this one I have on the list right here.
Okay. I'm sorry.
All right.
There we go.
Listen closely. Buzz in if you know the answer. Nick?
Black.
No. Incorrect. Patrick, any answer?
Was it... Learn to fly.
3 seconds. No, that's incorrect. It was footsteps. Footsteps. Yes. Here's the actual clip of that. Casey, can you put it on the actual clip? All right, next one. This is the last one for loop. There it is. Okay. Here we go. Your loop. That's a hard one. You guys
in the black circle.
No, that's incorrect. Nick, any guess?
Porch.
No, it was Jeremy. All right, let's skip to the questions. Okay, now these are questions. Buzz in if you know the answer to this.
Hold your buzzer up high there, Patrick.
April 28th, 1994, the Foo Fighters play their very first Philadelphia show at the Trocadero. Opening for the Foo Fighters that night was the band Hovercraft, featuring a special secret drummer who... I heard Nick first. Nick?
Eddie Vedder.
Eddie Vedder was the drummer. That's correct. Hovercraft was his wife's band, and he wore a wig so no one would recognize him. So we got 2 points for Nick so far.
2 points for Nick, but since Patrick's going to dominate soon.
All right, next question. Over the course of their stellar career, Pearl Jam has released 10 studio albums. Which one of those albums is the shortest in length? I heard Nick first.
Versus.
Incorrect. Patrick?
Binaural?
No, that's incorrect. It was Backspacer. In 2009, 36 minutes and 38 seconds long. Next question. On September 28th, 2005, Pearl Jam opened for the Stones at PNC Park in Pittsburgh. What song? What? Are...
Sorry.
Nick, what is your answer?
Wild Horses.
That is correct. Oh. Eddie sang that song with Mick Jagger that night. Well done. All right, so 3 for Nick, 0 for Patrick. Next question.
I wasn't there.
Which two members of Pearl Jam played with the band? Patrick?
Oh, well, I just Nirvana. It's either Nirvana or Soundgarden.
Nope. No, that's incorrect. Let me finish it. Which two members of Pearl Jam played with the band Trey's Mountains?
Yeah.
As in Three Mountains. Nick.
That'd be Jeff Ament and Mike McCready.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, that is absolutely... He's killing you, Patrick. All right, 4-0. Next question is, the legend goes, while in his senior year of high school, young Eddie Vedder's girlfriend and drama partner...
Beth?
No, it is not Beth. Girlfriend and drama partner broke up with him and crushed his heart. What is the name of this horrible and super cruel swamp whore? Nick, do you know?
I don't know.
It's Liz Gumble.
Liz Gumble.
The Gumbler.
Everybody knows that, yeah.
All right, next. High school was a very formative time for Eddie Vedder, which is exactly the kind of thing someone writes when they are looking to pad out a question. While in high school, a man named Clayton Liggett was a very important person to Eddie. Who is he? All right, Patrick?
It was his drama teacher.
Yeah!
There's
all
one.
Right. Nice. Next question. In 1986, Eddie Vedder responded to an ad to join a decidedly bad Duran Duran-influenced rock band called Bad Radio. The demo Eddie sent, Bad Radio, included a cover. Nick?
Better Man.
No. Of which Bruce Springsteen song? All right, Patrick.
Jungle Land.
No, it was Atlantic. It was Atlantic City, so that is incorrect. All right, do we have time to do a noodle?
Yeah, let's do a noodle.
All right, we're going to do a noodle. A noodle, Patrick, is a little instrumental section of a song. We haven't looped it. We're just going to play you just a tiny little section of the song, and you tell us what it comes from, okay? It's just like a 1 second portion of the song. So here is your noodle. Listen. Okay.
Oh, damn it.
Damn it.
Buzz in if you know the answer. Casey, give it to me one more time.
It's a newer song. It's either on Backspacer or Lightning Bolt.
3 seconds.
I'm not going to get it.
I can't remember the name of the debt, but
no.
Song.
Johnny Guitar.
Sad.
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 Off of Lost Dogs.
Lost Dogs. I was wrong on everything.
Next. Oh, here's the.
Okay.
Sounds a little bit like dueling banjos.
Yeah. It does, yeah.
All right, next one. We have two left, and then we're done with the contest. Here it is. Here's
still
your
pull
new
it out, Pat.
Listen closely. One more time. Nick.
Spin the black circle.
No. One more time, Case. Patrick.
Jesus Christ.
Do the Evolution.
Ah!
Great song, by the way. And that's it. All right, last one. Here's your noodle.
Oh.
They know it. These are more obscure songs that we chose. These are not big hits. Nick?
Unthought Known?
No, incorrect. Patrick, for the steal.
Here, one try.
5 points, Patrick.
What? It's a 5-pointer.
I don't know. I know. I just can't.
What song would you like it to be? Let me play the whole thing and see if they know it then. All right. Buzz in when you know. All right. Here we go. Nick.
Love Boat Captain.
Yes!
For negative 5 points, Nick.
Negative 5 points. That cancels everything. Our winners, Patrick is on the button. Yeah. Man, pull that out with the last minute negative point win by Nick.
I call no fair. That was written in Atlantic City, by the way. Did you know that? At the Borgata?
If you had done the Bengals, you'd have killed it.
Had we known, the Bengals. We'd have been all over it. All right, well, listen, we know you guys got to run. So the shows are tonight, 7:30 and 9:45, and tomorrow night as well. PunchlinePhilly.com to get your tickets. Patrick, good to see you again. Mike, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
You guys have a good time in Philly, all right?
Cheers.
All right, Patrick Warburg, Mike Wilson. We'll take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Weezer. Fozzy. Dirty Honey.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
We have a programming note. Nick McElwain needs to make some kind of a correction from when we had Patrick Warburton in here and we did a Pearl Jam contest and Nick kicked his ass. Big time.
I did win. He's very good. He's a huge Pearl Jam fan. I said something, a few things wrong. I said Love Boat Captain was written in the Borgata in Atlantic City. That's not true. Gone. The song Gone was written at the Borgata in Atlantic City. So I got that wrong. Thank you, Twitter, for pointing that out. And then
I'm sure they were nice about it, though.
They're totally nice. Yeah, people are very supportive. Yeah.
Excuse me, Mr. McElwain, I just wanted to make you aware of something.
No, a lot of people don't know that dickhead is a term of affection.
Yeah.
Dickhead.
Yeah, they just want to reach out and give you a hug over Twitter.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was that we've been getting information that there's going to be new Pearl Jam music, and so I thought maybe we'd have a chance to kind of tease that, but it's not quite there yet, but trust me, this year, and we said this about a year ago, but this year there's good authority that new Pearl Jam music is right on the horizon.
This has
good
been
authority.
Confirmed by multiple sources.
We know. We even know the title of the song. Are we even allowed to say it yet?
Why not?
Yeah.
Apparently Marissa's over there.
She's got a very interesting look on her face that says
we do have that audio, Case, don't we?
Of the new music?
Yeah.
The music I'm looking for.
Wait, we're not allowed to say that Dancing with Clairvoyance is the name of the song?
I didn't say that.
Oh.
No. I have no idea.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. What are you looking for, Casey?
I don't know.
Okay. It's all good. I guess we don't have it, Steve. I don't really know. But anyhow, the corrections have been made. And yes, there's going to be some new music coming in the near future from Pearl Jam, which is cool. And hopefully That's a tour involved with that whole thing.
Yeah, a lot of rumors around that, but none of that is confirmed.
Yep. Let's see. I saw this article, thought it was interesting. I was curious what you guys think about it. And this is apparently a book that is called Kill Reply All, A Modern Guide to Online Etiquette from Social Media to Work to Love. And this is from a woman named Victoria Turk, who is an editor at Wired UK. And basically has some etiquette information about texting and so on.
Stuff we do every day.
Correct.
Do you mainly communicate through texting on your phone? I mean,
Yeah.
Are you more likely to text than make a call?
Way much more than calling.
Okay.
And in fact, there's a little bit of that in here as far as, you know, which you should do. But yeah.
I use postcards.
Use postcards.
I like to
still?
Send postcards, yeah.
No, texting is quick. It's easy. It gets to the point. And so it's a preferred use of communication for me. But here's one of the things that she points out, and I had no idea. Punctuation. It says at the end of a text message, it's very clear that the text message is finished. Putting a period at the end just to finish the sentence is sort of redundant. Adding that extra effort makes it seem like you're doing it for emphasis, which is can come off as angry.
Wait, so you...
A period at the end of a sentence, at the end of a text.
I don't buy that.
Especially
wait,
with like a one
come
word.
Off as angry.
Okay, the period. Okay, no, I 100% agree with this. So yeah. I text with somebody.
Jesus.
Listen. Listen.
I'll hear.
I text with somebody often. And when that person uses periods, I know they are angry and I have to pick up the phone and call them.
It's that person, though. But in general, I think it's just what you call, I don't know, punctuation.
Well, no, it's not just that person. He has an article here saying that I'm just concurring, saying that there I believe it 100%.
So but you've made a connect, you know, for sure.
Yep.
So you've talked to this person after they've sent a message that has a period at the end of it and they're in a foul mood of sorts or they're angry.
Right. So
it.
Listen, I wouldn't say it's like. So it would be not like, okay, if you send a text, it's a few sentences, you use a period here, use an exclamation point there, use a question mark there, not angry. If I get a text that is a few sentences long and every sentence has a period, I got to call her.
Really?
Yes.
See, I write my text as if I'm writing an email. I write it, to me, it's just a shorter, I do commas and punctuation and capitals and the whole deal.
Yeah.
And even when I'm dictating a text in the car.
You'll say period.
I'll say comma.
Yeah.
I do the whole deal with period, exclamation point. I throw it all in there.
Right.
Because I'm special.
I'd never heard this. Now, obviously, I know the things about, you know, caps and multiple exclamation points and things like that, what kind of a message you're trying to convey that way. But I've never heard the adding a period at the end of a sentence can come off as.
Yeah. To me, that's almost like in the radio, you're over, you know, like you're finished, you know, end of transmission.
Yeah. I go back and forth, and it has nothing to do with my mood. It has to do with convenience. If it's just real quick, say we're on the air, and I see something from my wife, and it's something that I need to address very, very quickly while we're live on the air, I might go, you know, okay, and not add
or a thumbs up or
or not a, but leave a period off.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I'm going through some text messages, a text chain with you, Preston, and really the only time that I use punctuation. Is if I'm using several sentences, right? So,
right.
So I obviously need to put a period at the one at the end of one sentence to get to the next sentence.
Yeah.
The other punctuations I use are question marks because you need to know that I'm answering a question and exclamation points just so you know that I'm excited about something.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else, there are no punctuations on my end, but there are punctuations on your end. Now,
you're texting a lot. You text a lot.
Yeah. But I'm just saying that I also think. A period at the end of a one-word response is very terse.
Oh, totally.
Like, you know, if you're asking and you say no. You know, it's way period. It's the difference between me saying no and no.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
No.
Yep. Yeah.
But that okay. All right. All right.
What about FU?
That just doesn't, you know.
FU but no period.
No. Can also be non- confrontational and
yeah
if there's no period
so we got
no,
screwed over.
I'm using inflection to point it out.
We got screwed over a little
if
bit.
Only there was a way to actually speak to the person.
We got screwed over a little bit ago by somebody in the building. I got an apology from a person in a text message and my response to them had no punctuation, and I was just, and so to me that meant like
I'm okay. Like, no worries.
So you're purposely doing that, leaving a punctuation off to convey a message.
I had no idea.
I guess I'm doing that. Subconsciously.
Do you double space after each sentence?
I don't triple stamp on a double stamp, I'll tell you that much.
Because that will add a period.
It'll add a period, yeah.
Well, that's also become now, that is less because of word constraints. You usually go two spaces after a period, mm-hmm. you know, now.
Well, you don't need word constraint on text.
Well, right. But like on Twitter or something, yeah. When you're trying to conserve spaces. So that's now, those constraints are forcing regular protocols with writing to change.
I use a lot of exclamation points, and I've had people say to me, wow, geez, you're really excited about that.
Right.
But that's kind of my normal text.
I do as well because a lot of times I'm saying things that are a little bit hyperbolic or that I'm a little, you know, that I'm showing some emotion, and that's the way to do it.
You got to save them.
Or at least the turd emoji.
There may be a time when you really want to convey it, and then people don't know that because they're desensitized by how many exclamation points you use.
For me, that's all exclamation, I mean, all capital letters and the exclamation points.
When Kathy's really angry, she breaks out the swastikas. That's how you know.
No, I guess it's like people's inflections, and everybody's a little bit different, and
and if you text them, you get to know their dialect of sorts. Yeah, their texting pattern.
Yeah. Okay. Hang on a second. I'm going to go to Zach. Hi, Zach. Good morning.
Hey guys, I don't know if I told you the story, but one time I was in AC tripping on acid.
Everyone loves to do that.
Sounds familiar. Yeah. But what's the other thing you were going to tell us about?
When my girlfriend tacks on a period at the end of the text, that's usually not a good sign for me.
Wow. So you've known that consistently you see that period pop up and you know something's up.
Whenever I see a period in the text, I know that I'm in turd emoji.
Yeah. Well, if there's a period on the text, is there a period in real life? That's the question.
No, just a subtle way.
I get it. I have been, Preston, until you mentioned it right now, I've been completely clueless on this.
I saw a guy who, a story about a guy a little while back who one of his lifelong goals or his mission was to try to get people to use apostrophes properly. And he wrote books, all this stuff. And he's late in his age. I think he's in like his 90s now, and he has just given up. He's like, I can't.
I'm done.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm done. Yeah. I have no more time for this.
Yeah. put a barrel in his mouth and finished it. Somebody had texted that they said if they're angry, they use the word no. If they're not angry, they write nah.
Yeah. Right? Okay. Yeah.
N-A-H. Nah.
Nah.
Or no.
Right.
And it's one or the other.
Or for me is sure with a period.
How about negative?
Negative as in no?
Yeah, affirmative, negative.
Marissa?
The one that gets me is when do the quotes go away around like a proper, like a movie title or a book?
In texting?
In texting or like tweeting.
We're kind of doing
a little bit of all this, right?
Like, that's too much for texting.
No, I include quotes around movie titles or something in a text.
Well, because sometimes if the movie title is in, it gets confusing if you don't even capitalize it.
Yeah, no, I hear you.
I will capitalize.
Or you can't.
If it's something proper.
Or italics will work if you can do that.
I don't even know how you do that.
I have no clue. I just use Google.
Sometimes I'll see like a font in red or something. How did you do that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Whatever text?
That? Yeah, or whatever.
I don't know how to do that.
Even in email. So Bill sometimes puts little fonts and italics and bolds and
write Annabelle
and colors in his emails, and I'm like, how'd you do that?
Yeah. Annabelle's always in red.
Yeah,
emails are
always in red.
Easier. All you have to do is highlight, and then you can change the color of the font. Yeah. Here's one where I know that I'm in trouble, and my girlfriend's listening, so I apologize for outing you on this. But if it's have fun exclamation point, it means hey, go out and have fun. If it's have fun period, you probably should get home now. And
right.
You've had too many drinks.
Oh, yep. Why don't you just have fun then?
Yeah. Have fun.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You rotten hell.
That's how it is. You're right. Yeah. Have fun.
If
have
it's
fun.
Rotten fun. Hell.
Mm-hmm. Or, no.
Yeah. Rotten hell.
Rotten hell.
Rotten hell.
Or rotten hell.
There are a few other etiquettes, but I thought that one alone is worth discussing. And we'll take some more calls here in a second. But there's one that says reconsider replying all. You know, if you see a chain that you're on and hitting reply all, we know that.
We talked about
try to maybe If you can handpick just a couple of people that you would like to reply to on that or bail on it altogether.
Like the entire sales force of the company.
Exactly.
You want to let them know that
you're
have
sorry.
Some,
yeah, over and over and over again as you try to correct, yeah.
correct. Here's another your problem. One. Email is not an instant messenger. Yeah. Eager emailers have come to expect near instantaneous responses. But Turk points out that that's not the way that email is intended to be used. It's not supposed to be an immediate back and forth conversation tool. If you need a quick answer, they suggest using a different medium such as a call or Slack. I don't know what Slack is. But some people, you don't have their text message, you don't have their phone number, so right. email is what yeah. you have, you know. So.
Sometimes if I send an important email, I will follow up with the text message to said person saying, hey, check your email.
You ever follow up with a phone call?
No, because I hate talking on the phone. So, like, when we were doing the comedy night for the Camp Out for Hunger,
yeah.
I was texting Robert Kelly, and he wasn't getting back to me. And then I found out that he hates text messages and only likes phone calls, which I was like, that's kind of like the opposite of everybody else on the earth.
I wouldn't say everybody. There are people that prefer phone calls, and it's an easier way to communicate. And also, a lot of these problems are eliminated with a phone call because you can tell inflection, you can tell urgency, that type yeah. of thing.
Well, if there are details to hammer out, I would much rather talk to someone.
Yes, absolutely.
There was a group text message we were on. We're trying to figure out some vacations. Casey had an addendum to a discussion that we had already had, and I started to text something. I'm like, no,
too much.
We're gonna go back and forth. I need to talk to you, so I called him, and we got it hammered out in a couple of minutes, as opposed to
yep.
spending the next hour going back and forth slowly over text.
And then he sent you back a enjoy your vacation. Period.
Mm-hmm. He was serious about it.
When I'm on group text, sometimes it gets lost. Like so many will come in, and yes. then I'm like, you know what? I don't have time to go back and read through all of these. So, like, I'm out on the conversation. And people have said to me, like, you didn't comment. I'm like, because it just went too long.
With group text, Kathy, also at the beginning, the way it displays at the top of the phone, it has the circles, circle, 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 you know, where it's all over each other. And sometimes you forget, you just don't remember who's in that group text. Yeah. And I've done it where I was like, there's one person who it's information I don't think they should know.
Yeah.
And let me check. And I've saved myself from sending it to the wrong person.
Yeah. I have a friend who does this interesting thing with text. So he'll write a sentence, and then he'll hit the enter button like three or four times. So it goes way down. It's almost like another paragraph.
Uh-huh.
And then he'll write another group of information, and then hit enter a few more times. So the bubble that text comes in
is so huge. Big. Yeah.
And he's got all these gaps in between his thoughts. And I'm like,
is that to make it stand out on the screen more?
I have no idea. I don't know why he does it.
It's like separate thoughts, right?
Yeah.
I have a few people that do
sometimes
that.
Sometimes they're not separate thoughts. Sometimes
it's just simple, stupid thoughts.
I can't quite figure it out. And Kathy, it says here, this other point is emojis and exclamation points are good in moderation.
Right. Hey, getting back to the reply all, because you see it happen when like a congratulations email goes out. And, or you know, anything along those lines. And I don't understand why people do reply all if it's not necessary for everybody's eyes. And so what I generally do, let's say it's a congratulations, I will then either send that person that's getting the congratulations either a text message or a separate email. Like, the entire company doesn't need to know that you're happy for them. You know what I mean?
I do a thing called reply no one.
I agree with that. However, I was recently in a situation where everyone on the email was replying all. And it was like kind of a serious situation. So I felt like I couldn't be the only person to not reply. And if I didn't reply all, they wouldn't see that I replied.
Okay. Yeah.
So I had to reply all and say something.
Casey, I guess it's a
have
sense
fun.
Of
the
yeah.
period.
I guess it's a sense of a group of people applauding you all at once. You're being applauded and everyone is seeing everyone else applaud you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's that version of that, I think, you know.
There's a dynamic there. I think you're right on some level. It's people are looking for like a little bit of, you know, cyber love.
Yeah, yeah. And showing it publicly.
It's probably best just to email like everybody in the company, Casey.
Yeah.
You know, just track down everybody's email address and send calendar invites to all of them.
I think what I mean, is there any Preston, for the longest time when we would send out messages, just a basket from Hickory Farms.
Yeah, that's that too.
Best way to contact.
By the way, did you guys know Raz has a day off coming up?
I did. Yeah.
It's today. It was yesterday.
Yeah, Donnie
Raz. Raz from he's program director from XTU, our sister station, and he sends out to the entire company when he's got a day off.
Donnie Black, he came in here yesterday. He goes, "Hey, just want to let you guys know in case you missed it. Raz has the day off."
Yeah, I think why he does that is so that at some points during the day we'll all stop by his house and just make sure everything's okay.
Yeah. Sure, yeah. Absolutely.
We've talked about group texts involving Android phones, right? Like if you send a video on a group text and one of those people has an Android phone, the video quality is automatically diminished. So Marissa has an Android. The rest of us have iPhones. And so if somebody in our group...
Is that why
that's exactly why that is.
She ruins our text chain.
In my family dynamic, my mom has an Android. Everybody else has iPhones. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's why.
I never knew. Because sometimes, like Casey sent a video not long ago, and I'm like, this looks terrible.
And everything is terrible about it. The video. Yeah.
And sounds terrible. And I couldn't figure it out. Marissa,
thanks, Marissa.
You're off the list.
Sorry for being a green bubble, guys. Do you notice that my texts are a different color, too?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, her texts are in green.
Oh, the bubble.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what she's
I never
okay,
noticed
got it.
That.
Yes,
okay.
So just out there, if
yeah,
you
Yeah, but
are
it's not
sending...
your... It's because you're on the group text, everyone's are green.
Yeah. Oh, okay. But just in general, so the world knows, if you have an iPhone, you cannot send a video to a droid, and a droid cannot send a video to an iPhone. So just email it, especially if that person is
running.
But
these are the droids I was looking for.
Nice.
No, I can't send you a video from my phone.
No.
You can, but it's the quality is going to be terrible.
Oh, it's the little.
Yeah. It's not just little. It's like fuzzy.
Yeah.
Just email it.
Got it.
Dropbox, okay. WeTransfer.
I did not know that. Okay. Hang on a second. Let me go to, going back to the grammar stuff, I'm going to go to Steven, who's been on hold for a long time. Hi, Steven. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what?
Period.
What's up, Steven?
Happy New Year, guys. So I'm a proper grammar, punctuation, texter. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because when it comes to business, I have a guy I work for, and he sends single letter, no punctuation text. And it comes off as really kind of juvenile. So when it comes to business texts and I get these non-grammar, non-punctuation texts, I kind of end up thinking like, hey, who's this jabroni?
Right.
Trying to get me to work with them.
Right. I think in cases of like business-wise, I think, you have to consider how you look to your boss and... Yeah. And that there's certainly more informed. Do you ever
on an education level?
On an educational level,
you know that you should you should probably be doing things proper when it comes to business.
So my friend is
You're not just texting with your friends and family, so
right?
There's
a more formal way.
Coworkers, potential clients, things like that. All right, thanks, Steven. Appreciate it.
My friend is in sales, and they had to work the final day of the year, so they were working on New Year's Eve day. And so that's the final day of the fiscal year. And the big manager, you would assume that they would, you know, send out like something like a little bit more, I don't know, office-y, business-y whatever.
Yeah.
He sent out a video of Motley Crue's Kickstart My Heart. And then with this like raging, like, yeah, let's kick some ass today, bam, 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 you know, and all this stuff. And then it was signed Viper.
Viper?
Yes.
Well, maybe he was trying to rally.
He was trying to rally the truth.
Right.
But
so Viper wanted a better good Q1.
Let's close it out, man. Yeah. Let's close out the year.
All right.
Strong Viper.
Yeah.
Rock.
Couple of other things to point out. Emojis, exclamation points are good, but in moderation. It says here, never, ever leave a voicemail. There's absolutely no purpose for voicemails in the modern age.
Call me a boomer if you want. I still, like, if somebody leaves me a voicemail, I'll listen to it and respond to it.
Here's what I do now. Leave a voicemail, and I'll read the text.
Well, that too.
Because it converts it to text.
Yeah, but sometimes information can be imparted in a voicemail that's important, and therefore it needs to be listened to.
See, I think if I don't have you in my phone, if you're not saved and I don't know your number, then you have to leave a voicemail. Otherwise, I'm not calling back. But if I have your phone number saved, you don't need to leave a voicemail. I'll call you back.
But not every time somebody calls you, it doesn't always come up on your phone. Like your phone is off or sometimes you will miss a call know that you missed a call.
Yeah. Mm.
Hence the voicemail.
Who's Annabelle?
It says you have no idea what to expect from them. They could go on for minutes. You might have to reach for a pen to jot down some information.
Oh, I don't have time
and
for
it's
this.
Super inefficient and inconvenient.
Pens are so heavy.
If you call someone and they don't pick up, she says, consider dropping an email or a text instead.
A lot of times.
Don't ever leave me a message.
My missed call is your voicemail.
Yes.
If that makes sense.
It does.
No, yeah, that's, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah,
I understand that. Here's another one that says, don't read and ignore. Turk says there's no obligation to turn on your read receipts, but the optional notification to the person that you're texting with that says that if you open your message or not. But if you decide to use them, it's bad manners to leave people hanging. Respond immediately, even if it's just a thumbs up emoji that shows I've read your message, and then reply properly later on, she says. I've started to get lazy on that. I'm receiving a text. And a lot of times they happen while we're on the show, and I'll see it, and I may tap it and look at it and set it aside, and then I've forgotten about it.
Yeah.
And because it's not labeled as new.
Yeah.
And then I 2 weeks later, I'm like, oh, my God, I forgot to get back to that person.
Yeah, it shifts down in the
chain. If I know it's something important, I don't actually don't respond to it because I want to make sure it's still in, you know. But you know, you can
sometimes you don't know if it's
you
important.
Can click it as unread, too. You can, you know, return it to its original status.
On a text you can?
Yeah, I believe you can, right?
I don't know.
I don't think so. Wait, back to the thumbs up emoji. I was going to bring this up earlier. So I have another friend. If I get a thumbs up emoji, something's wrong.
Oh, no. See? Okay.
Knock it off.
Yeah.
As in, like they're smugly, like going like.
Yeah. Like.
Nice job, good girlfriend. Good for you.
Oh, yeah. Like, okay.
Sarcastically.
Did you guys do a girls' night? Yeah, we did. It was, you know, when you weren't in town. Thumbs up.
No kidding. Okay. I use it as in okay, you know, confirmed, something like that.
Go to hell.
I use the thumbs up probably more than any other emoji. I'm not a big emoji guy.
But now with her, I give her the thumbs up, you know what I mean? So she knows that I'm annoyed.
Uh-oh.
Is there anything approximating a middle finger?
There is a middle finger.
Is there?
Yeah.
I didn't even know.
Yeah.
This text, I don't know what this is from. It says the thumbs up emoji is only used in sarcastic situations, just like in real life. The only person who legitimately gives a thumbs up is your dad.
Well, you are a dad.
I am a dad.
Yeah.
To teenagers, for crying out loud. So there you go. Yes, maybe it's true. But I use thumbs up quite a bit.
What about D-pics?
Not in a while. Not since Big Red.
That was a long time ago.
Let me see here. I'm going to go to Jesus.
Sir, you guys rock.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Playing some biblical music for you, Jesus. What were you going to say about punctuation?
Usually all my sentences, like any type of messaging, like Facebook or Instagram or whatever, I don't use commas. I use three dots.
Well, I do that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea why. Even after I'm explaining something, I'll be like, check this out, dot, dot, dot.
Okay. Yeah, it's like your pause.
It's a pause. Yeah. I got it. And by the way, you're supposed to use no more than three dots.
Because if you
more than three dots, everybody knows it.
Yeah.
Well, because on text, if you start to use more than three, they become smaller. They shrink down.
Do they?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. There's so much I don't know.
I know. Even if you're listing items, like, you know, if you have like five or six things to do, normally you would put commas between those. You'll do three dots?
I do three dots every time.
So I need you to pick up eggs, dot, 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 bacon, dot, 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 bread, but dot, 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 so on if you're saying
dot.
Like that.
Yeah.
Dot, dot, dot.
So usually items, I just put out the items and I put a space.
All right.
I'll do it like a list. It'll be like bread. Yeah. Return.
Enter. Yeah. Yeah, I gotcha. All right, thanks, Jesus. Appreciate it, man.
No problem.
Let me see. I'm going to go to Nicole next. Hi, Nicole. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up?
So I was just actually calling because my punctuation actually kind of helped me land my husband.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this. So okay.
We were set up over text by a girl we went to high school with, and he dated a girl right before me, and he just had commented that all his communication with her was run-on sentences, couldn't understand her, anything like that. And he's a, you know, bit of a grammar Nazi. So when he got, you know, the first initial text back from me, he immediately went to the girl who set us up and was like, oh, God, thank you for setting me up with an articulate woman.
Ah, that's cool.
Yeah, so it was actually part of his vows to me was, you know, you had the perfect secret to my heart, which was perfect punctuation.
Had you guys met in person before you started texting?
No, we hadn't. No, we were set up by, you know, a mutual friend. And
there you go.
Are you a grammar Nazi, too?
You know, I'm not as bad as he is, but, you know, I'm a hospice nurse, so my documentation has to be perfect.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm very conscientious of it, but no, I'm not as bad as he is.
Wow. Interesting. All right. Thanks, Nicole. I appreciate it. That is a topic for another time. We don't have time to get to it right now, but falling in love with someone or being interested in someone before you even meet them because of something that makes no sense at all. He was turned on by her texting.
Right.
I mean, that's... And not even, like, sexy texting, just...
Accurate texting.
Just accurate and articulate texting.
A friend of mine sent me a message, and I said, oh, how was that guy you talked to on Bumble? And she said, he K'd me.
Like, K'd?
She sent something, and he just went, K.
Oh,
just okay. The letter.
Ooh.
Right. Oh.
Yeah.
No, that's... No. No. At a certain point, if it's too much work to write, okay.
Yeah. K.
It's like boo.
K is one that I, yeah, that's I, get, I see get, that as a bit of a snub.
I get, I get KK.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's when you're wearing your white hood?
At first I thought it was, you know, a typo, but she does it all the time.
Is that like, okay?
No, it's like, KK. Like, yep, definitely got it. No problem.
KK.
Oh, man, this stuff I just do not... It's probably flying past me. People probably hate my guts, and I have no idea because I can't. I just don't pay any attention to that
stuff.
You're
not a big texter, though.
I'm not a big texter.
No.
I'm not a big texter. I'm more a mountain man, Nick.
let me see. I'm going to go to Don, who's been on hold for like 15, 20 minutes. Hi, Don. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. What's up, bud?
For my next number.
What we're seeing is a sort of de-evolution in communication because people, there's a standard of writing was created for a reason. In grammar and punctuation. And while we have character limits in tweets and things like that,
mm-hmm.
It's people are trying to be expeditious and trying to be expressive, but we're getting away from the standard of writing that we're not using in handwriting because we're relying on technology.
Sure.
Yeah.
No, that's what I was saying is that it's actually changing the ways we write just regular letters or regular emails. We're adopting some of the things that are incorporated into Twitter posts and just, you know, expediting, as you said, the whole process. And sometimes it becomes harder to understand the way someone means something. It's always been hard to get across your inflection in print, but this adds another element to it.
Yeah.
I think I wanted to comment on the woman before in that as a guy, if I'm communicating with a woman and she's using full sentences and grammar, that means that, you know, her mental faculties there. She can communicate and express herself. That's appealing to me.
You're okay. So,
you know, you're popping right. A boner.
You're definitely one of those. Nice, Don. Thanks, bud. Appreciate it.
You guys ever read your kids' text messages?
No, I should.
The ones I abduct.
Okay, yeah. So they speak in shorthand via text. And there are a lot of times where I'm going through and I'm like,
Don't know what it means.
Do you get to I-L-Y-S-M?
Well, let me finish my thought here. I don't know what that means.
I love you so much.
I don't know if there's gibberish or if they actually mean something
right. Sometimes. And I'm sorry for interrupting, but that's what my question was, because when I read these things, I need to have a translator.
Mm-hmm.
And more so on Instagram, because, you know, my son's on Instagram, and that's a massive way of communicating among all of his friends. And my nieces are on it as well. It's one of those things where you're like, all right, it's just a new way of communicating, you know?
Yeah.
It's no different than what we did with writing notes in class.
Yeah.
It's just a new way of doing it.
So that last guy said it's a de-evolution of communicating, and I sort of disagree with that terminology. I look at it more like it's an evolution in communicating.
Here's somebody texted and said, I'm giving up drinking for the month. Oh, sorry, punctuation important. I'm giving up, drinking for a month.
Yeah.
It can make a difference.
It does, yeah.
Well, anyhow, these...
Give that guy a thumbs up back.
What? Yeah, right. Okay.
We can't do that on this text platform. By the way, if you ever text us, which is 39333, we can't see emoji.
Right.
What?
Right, exactly.
We can only see the text.
Yep. Thank God.
What is this, 2020?
it is, yeah.
By the way, this book is called Kill Reply All, A Modern Guide to Online Etiquette from Social Media to Work to Love. But I didn't know... I wasn't aware that putting a period at the end can seem like it's smug.
Seemed very standard to me.
Me too. I never read into that particular thing. Interesting. All right, we need to take a break. We're going to do that very thing. Not before I add cases. Time to ask the question.
Oh, my goodness.
I totally forgot about that. It's 9:38. I should have done this a little while back. We have cash to give away, courtesy of the Dr. Oz Show. Clear the phone lines. We'll take caller number 12 that knows the answer to this question. On yesterday's show, Dr. Oz talks to a close family friend of Jamie Kloss 1 year after she was kidnapped by Jake Patterson, from whom she escaped after 88 days in captivity. When James was held prisoner in Patterson's house, where did he hide her? 215-263-WMMR. All right. When Jamie was held prisoner in Patterson's house, where did he hide her? 215-263-WMMR. You had to have seen Dr. Oz, which is on weekdays, 2 o'clock on Fox 29, to know the answer to that. Caller number 12 will start with you, see if you know the answer. Coming back with the Bizarre File. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Wait, turn up the sound.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, so we need to get the answer and give away the prize for this Dr. Oz watch and win that we've been doing this week. We're going to do it again next week, by the way. And on yesterday's show, Dr. Oz talked about a close family friend of Jamie Kloss 1 year after she was kidnapped by Jake Patterson, from whom she escaped after 88 days in captivity. When Jamie was held prisoner in Patterson's house, where did he hide her? And I will go to Joe for the answer. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, Joe. So where did he hide her in the house?
Under a bed.
Under a bed, yes. Wow. Yeah, you got it, Joe. That means we got $500 for you. Hang on the line. We'll get your information. Don't forget, you can get a daily dose of Dr. Oz. Each day, Dr. Oz offers health tips, true crime stories, food investigations, and celebrity interviews. You can watch Dr. Oz on Fox 29 weekdays at 2 p.m. Friday, today, Dr. Pimple Popper's Most Frightening Cases Yet.
You ever watch that show?
I've seen parts of it, yep. And I've seen videos, and I know what it's all about.
They have a new one.
Oh.
Which is all effed up feet.
Oh, my
They're
God.
Podiatrists.
Oh, man.
If you thought Pimple Popper was gnarly.
Really?
You got to see this freaking thing.
All right. So we're going to do this again next week with Dr. Oz. I don't know if we'll have a question about today's show or not.
I think that's the way it
Watch
works.
It just in case. Yeah, that's the way it works? Okay, excellent. All right. I need to give away God Charles Turkey Bacon because they're here this morning. Ooh. I'm going to give away six-pack of coupons, good for six full-size packages. And don't forget, God Charles Turkey Bacon has 80% less fat, 100% bacon flavor.
Bacon!
Caller numbers 11 and 12. The bacon's yours. 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. We're going to do the trash. No, we're going to do the bizarre file while you're calling.
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you by Godshall's. Keep that New Year's resolution with bacon when you make Godshall's turkey bacon part of your healthy plan. A woman told police that she had a medical marijuana card, but that evidently didn't keep her out of trouble when investigators reported a medical marijuana container that had crack cocaine inside of it.
She didn't have a card for that?
She didn't. Police encountered the 46-year-old woman during a traffic stop. The vehicle smelled of spliff, they said.
I'm sure I have my crack card in here.
The woman said she had a medical marijuana card and pot in the vehicle. When she got out, investigators said they spotted a small bag with possible marijuana in it. By the way, it was packaged more like street-level drug sales as opposed to a medical pot dispensary. As for her medical marijuana card, the woman pointed in the vehicle toward a hooded sweatshirt. A glass crack pipe, however, fell from the sweatshirt.
Whoops.
Under the seat, police found a container from a medical marijuana business, but inside, half dozen rocks of crack cocaine. She may have had a medical marijuana card, but she did not have a get-out-of-jail-free card as they took her to the county jail.
She just crossed off the word blockbuster on an old card and wrote crack.
A clerk and a suspect at a mobile gas station were hurling a package of sticky buns back and forth at each other across the counter after the clerk accused the suspect of stealing snacks early Tuesday morning.
Sticky bun fight.
The employee told police that Shacole Burke had opened a package of combos and consumed the snack while she hid a package of cookies and two beef sticks in her coat. The clerk said he confronted Burks about the combos and the snacks hidden in her coat when she approached the counter to pay for the sticky bun. Burks became angry and grabbed the sticky bun and threw it at the clerk, who returned the glazed bun fire.
Were you, son of a bitch?
A witness flagged down a passing squad car and pointed out the scene as Burks had allegedly pulled down an entire display of baked goods.
Drop the sticky bun.
Sending numerous items across the floor. When confronted by the officer, Burks provided a fake name. She denied stealing and eating snacks, but admitted to consuming the combos, which she said she had intended
to pay for. At least she took ownership of it.
Well, she said she was going to pay for them.
Yeah.
She was arrested, though, so she's off to jail. A young man who was in a coma for nearly 4 years in Germany after his work lunch was poisoned by a colleague has died.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the 26-year-old ingested lead acetate and mercury after it was sprinkled on his sandwiches, resulting in severe brain damage.
Were people doing this for a while, or was this a string of crimes like this? I remember this going on.
Two of his colleagues were also targeted and suffered kidney damage. A man named only as Klaus O. Was found guilty of attempted murder last year and sentenced to life in prison. On Thursday, the state prosecutor said a new trial could be ordered by Germany's Supreme Court now that one of the victims has lost his life.
I remember when you first reported on this. Yeah.
The case came to light in 2018 after a colleague at a metal fittings company noticed a white powder on his lunch. Video surveillance cameras were later installed at the workplace, which captured Klaus placing the substance on his colleague's sandwiches. Tests identified it as lead acetate mercury, almost tasteless substances that, if ingested, could lead to serious organ damage. Further searches at Klaus's home uncovered mercury, lead, and cadmium as well. So, yeah, that's horrible.
But diabolical.
4 years later, the guy dies. Most children have heads, but whatever.
It's true. I've noticed.
Officials in Uganda tweeted out photos yesterday of a woman carrying what appears to be a child on her back. But the tweet says the baby turned out to be just a set of pajamas stuffed with banned cosmetics. She didn't have a head on it and thought she was going to get away with it. The woman was attempting to bring the cosmetics into Uganda from the Democratic Republic of the Congo.
Well, hasn't hit that age where the head grows in.
Apparently, you can't do that. Speaking of kids' heads. Firefighters in China recently responded to a home to extract a toddler's head from inside a metal tea kettle.
Oh my gosh.
Researchers say the boy was playing with the kettle last week when he stuck his head inside the metal container and then could not remove it. Firefighters took about a half hour to remove the kettle, and the boy was not seriously injured.
So goddamn stupid.
All right, and then we'll do one more story. A woman in the UK was secretly eating baby powder for 10 years before her ex-partner discovered the bizarre habit, which she is now seeking professional help for.
How is this person not dead?
Lisa Anderson, who said she has depression and anxiety and has been told she may be suffering from pica, is awaiting a formal diagnosis. She said her symptoms first started after the birth of her fifth son 15 years ago. Pica is an easy eating disorder. People eat things that...
like foam rubber and weird things.
That it's no nutritional value. They're not considered food. So dirt, hair, metal, pebbles, ash, clay, stuff chalk. Like that. Chalk, yeah. Risk factors include other mental health disorders such as schizophrenia or autism, as well as an iron deficiency, anemia, and malnutrition.
They had footage of her actually sitting there eating baby powder.
Anderson says she spends about $13 a week keeping up with her habit, which revolves around bottles of Johnson's baby powder.
Oh, she gets the good stuff, huh?
So she eats it, I mean, like, every day. She said, I've always had it in the house and would douse myself with it after having a bath or shower. I'd use it on the kids after giving them a wash, no problem. And then one day, I remember being in the bathroom and the smell was just overpowering. There was a bit of dust that had come on top of the bottle. And I had this sudden urge to eat it.
Oh, boy.
And I just couldn't fight it. I licked it off my hand and really enjoyed it. It just hit the spot.
How?
From there, she claims her addiction snowballed to the point where she can't go more than 30 minutes without it. To satisfy her craving in public, she chews on mints for relief. She said the longest I've been without it was 2 days, and that was the worst time of my life. I hated it. Her ex-partner barged in on her in the bathroom 10 years ago after growing suspicious of her behavior and convinced her to see a doctor. She is now waiting to see a therapist for a formal diagnosis, but is speaking out so that others who have developed the strange addictions do not feel alone.
Again, how are you taking all of that into your body and not dying from baby powder?
Yeah, I don't know. And there you go. That is what I got in the Bizarre File. We're going to take a break, come back in a second. We'll get the lesson question, trash music news when we return. And don't forget, Pierre Robert broadcasting live, Jack Frost Mountain, Day Up on the Slopes is today. We'll be right back.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Oh my God.
I don't know why. As that song was about to fade out, I'm like, Casey, give me Gary's cough ready to go.
It's one of the most chunky and disgusting things.
I knew it was fit right after the fade in that song.
But we were just talking about everyone being sick.
Ugh. All right, 10 minutes after 10 o'clock, Preston and Steve Show. We'll be going live to Jack Frost Mountain in a little while. I heard Rodney Bird, our head engineer, testing the lines, so they work. So we've got a nice direct connection to the gang in the E2000 Lounge, and Pierre Robert will be bringing you all the sights and sounds and maybe even a few smells.
No doubt. Rodney can do anything.
It is a big, big party, and he and Jackson are going to take you through that whole thing with chances to win money, too, which is great with Easy Money. That's on the way. In the meantime, we're going to do a lesson question. Today, we're giving away a 4-pack of tickets as the Philadelphia Wings face off against the Vancouver Warriors in their home opener this Friday. Well, that's today. Yeah, it's today.
Today!
Hey! Hot damn tonight. Hi, Grandma.
If you own one cat, you're an atheist. If you own two, you're more religious. And if you own nine, like Steve, you're probably a what? 215-263-WMMR. So if you own one cat, you're an atheist. If you own two, you're probably more religious. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's the other way around. I think if you own the more cats you own in this particular scenario. But anyway, if you own nine, what do you have? What are you? 215-263-WMMR. We're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, Steve, what stories do we have today?
Well, Mike Tyson saying that he hated Michael Jackson for years after he completely ignored him during a meet and greet. Tyson says he and Jackson later became very good friends, noting that he even once got to see the King of Pop's butthole.
Oh, my God!
What?
Queen Elizabeth called an emergency meeting of the royal family to discuss Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's decision to step back from their duties. After the meeting, the Queen released a statement saying, quote, "Natalia's a pimp. It was Barzini all along."
Jesus. Oh, my God.
And finally, 86-year-old Larry King and his estranged wife, Sean Southwick, have sold their Beverly Hills home for $15 million. King is so old and fragile that every bathroom in the house features a walk-in bathtub and a walk-in toilet.
Wow.
And that's your Hollywood track.
All righty. Let's see if we got ourselves an answer to this question this morning. If you own two cats, you're an atheist. If you own one, you're more religious. If you own nine, like Steve, you are probably what? And I will go to Matthew and see if he knows the answer. Hey, Matthew, how you doing, man?
Hello. How you doing?
Good. All right, Matthew, if you own nine cats, you're probably what?
You are a devil worshiper.
Devil worshiper. Hang on a minute, Matt. Going to get your information, and we're going to give you a 4-pack of tickets as the Philadelphia Wings face off against Vancouver Warriors in their home opener this Friday, today, Wells Fargo Center, and you can experience nonstop action, fun for the whole family, and enjoy dollar hot dogs. You can get tickets at wingslax.com. Another thing going on this weekend is the home show. Vote for Kathy Romano and send those bitches running scared that she's up against.
But here's the thing. You come out, you'll see all three of our designs. You're going to want to vote for mine anyway.
So it should be pretty easy.
but voted for me anyway.
I have seen both Andy and Kristen Herrmann selling drugs to children.
Oh, my God.
No. So, again?
I don't want to listen.
They're not good people.
They're just not good people.
All right. So the home show, you'll see their display. Is it all set up? Or
I would imagine they're setting it up today, okay, getting everything ready. So the show is open tonight. I will be there tomorrow from 4 to 6. It's open all weekend. But this weekend, I believe, is the only weekend that you can vote. We're going to reveal the results on NBC 10 next Friday.
Okay.
Is there a theme to your... It's an office, right?
Office space. Yeah. It was just an office space. And I will say that...
Yours is a tribute to Avatar?
No, it is not a tribute to Avatar. However, that would have been awesome. I should have took you with me shopping. No, mine is not used for the typical work you would think would be done on a computer in an office. You guys know what I do on my computer. I went with that theme.
All right. Okay.
I clearly want Kathy to win, but I must say, these are three very lovely ladies.
They're all awesome.
I'm the loveliest of them all.
Well, you're the youngest and most vibrant and most attractive.
Right. And sexually active.
But not the youngest.
I know. Casey!
I mean...
Yes, oh, no. I look
No,
the
my
youngest.
God, no. You
this is spiraling out of control.
When you were there and you watched Andy being born.
no, she's so old.
All right, so it's Saturday, so don't miss that. All right, music news, here we go.
Now, Preston and Steve's music news on 93.3 WMMR.
And this morning it is brought to you by Godshall's. Keep that New Year's resolution with bacon when you make Godshall's turkey bacon part of your healthy plan. All right, so let me see. Oh, man, I should have read this ahead of time. I didn't. I got here late this morning. My alarm clock wasn't set. So this is coming up. It is called the My Songs 2020 Tour. It's an announcement. Sting is coming to town. Dude, how cool is this?
We've had two killer announcements this week.
You mean as far as how they were conducted?
Yeah.
Sting is going to be playing the Met. Dude, it's on a Friday.
Are you going to go?
I'm going to go to this.
Especially at the Met.
Friday, May 1st, Sting is going to be performing the My Songs 2020 Tour. Tickets on sale Thursday, the 16th at 10 a.m. I've seen the Police. I've been lucky enough. I saw them at that reunion tour, and I've always wanted to go and see a Sting solo show. What a great musician. So I may have to go do that. Tickets available at themetphilly.com, and you can listen to Pierre all next week because he will have tickets for you to win to that particular show.
Sting sort of morphed over, very jazzy. When he
did his first solo run, he hired almost exclusively jazz musicians.
Like Wynton Marsalis, right?
No, it was Branford Marsalis and Omar Hakim on drums, and a few other really well-known session and jazz people. And he needed to because his musicianship is of that level. And so he really wanted to surround himself with some super-duper talented people. Not that the Police weren't talented in their own way, but he brought it up a notch or two. And just a talented individual, songwriting, performing, all of it. So, all right, tickets on sale January 16th, 10 a.m. at themetphilly.com. Following Sharon Osbourne's revelation that her husband Ozzy was collaborating with Elton John, turns out the two legendary artists appeared together on the title track of Ozzy's upcoming solo album, Ordinary Man, which will be out on February 21st. And it was confirmed by Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers, was doing an interview. He said, well, he plays on the record.
Oh, does he?
He said, we decided, well, the song is a piano. Who's a really good piano player? I don't know. Let's get the Rocket Man. And so Andrew Watt, the producer, he said, and I went down to Atlanta, where Elton John lives, when he's on the East Coast, and he played the piano on the song. And he plays it beautifully, of course. And then we were like, well, why don't we have him sing a verse? Smith added that Elton and Ozzy both sound, quote, effing awesome on the song, explaining these two iconic, legendary English effing rockers that have been through it all are singing about the end of their lives. And I don't want to die an ordinary man, he said, and it is effing great.
I'm getting more and more intrigued about this album with all these people participating.
Yeah, and Ozzy's voice is still held together, you know, so...
And his dancing on stage is unbelievable.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, he's got to watch doing the break stuff.
Yeah, which is crazy.
He's going to hurt himself.
What he does, he just stays is still, and they move the theater around him.
Right.
Do you want to hear any of that?
Yeah.
Or, okay. The Elton?
The Elton Ozzy? Ozzy Elton?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I didn't even know he had it. Here we go. At the beginning, it sounded a little like Goodbye Yellow Brick Road.
It did.
I was unprepared for fame. Then everybody knew.
They're auto-tuning that or something.
My name. No more lonely nights. Yeah. It's all for you. I have traveled many miles. I've seen tears and I've seen smiles. Just remember that it's all for you.
Hear Elton.
When the lights go down, it's just an empty stage. Okay. Yes, I've been a bad guy. Been high.
All right, I'm going to fast forward this a little bit because.
Slide whistle.
Times I've lost.
Is that him? I think this might be Elton here.
No.
Oh, it is, yeah. They tried to kill my rock and roll. Just remember, I'm still here for you. I don't want to say goodbye. When I do, you'll be all right. After all, I did it.
All right, that's not really doing it for me.
No.
It's
a little too slow.
Yeah.
I would have loved a little bit more slide whistle.
Uh-huh.
But for the most part, interesting.
Well, there it is. Tool frontman, Maynard James Keenan's other band, Pussifer, or Pussifer, however you decide to pronounce it.
However you like your puss.
Has nearly finished recording its fourth full-length studio album with 11 songs completed and one more to go. The disc is not slated to arrive until 2021, but the group has been in and out of the studio for the past few months, working around Keenan's schedule with Tool and his winemaking business.
And the new album is called An Ordinary Puss?
Might be.
Yeah.
Keenan continues to tour with Tool at the moment, and the band's kicking off a new round of dates on Friday, well, today, in San Diego. Evan Hansen shared the apocalyptic music video for its cover of Fleetwood Mac's The Chain. The clip finds the band performing the song while they bathe in red light as smoke hovers around them. Also included is footage from the video game Gears of War 5, for which the cover was recorded.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. As well as some desert scenes.
That's a great song. I'd love to hear their version. Do we have any audio from it?
I'm sure Marissa can hunt it down real quick. But, yeah, you know what? I remember seeing that commercial. Not that long ago, a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
But I can't recall if it was the Fleetwood Mac or Evanescence version. I just knew it was the Chain.
The video closes with a shot of drummer Will Hunt's drum kit on fire, possibly a reference to the rioting at Mexico's Knotfest last November that prevented them from performing and ended with Hunt's real-life drums being set on fire.
Wow.
Evanescence released The Chain last November, marking their first new rock recording in 8 years, by the way.
Gears of War is a great game.
Rage Against the Machine guitarist Tom Morello has pushed back against some of the criticism leveled at the band online for headlining this year's Coachella Festival, for which tickets start at $500.
No. Are you kidding me?
No. Well, hang on. I mean,
probably for the whole thing.
It's for the whole thing. That's three full days of shows.
Do you get a T-shirt?
You do not. Well, you can buy one.
Son
it doesn't come
bitch.
With it. But you got to figure, okay, so you get three full days. What's... Nick, you're the math guy.
500 divided by 3 is 1,000.
It's more than $150 a day.
Okay.
So you're paying tickets, you're paying $150 a day.
Yeah.
It's still too high.
But again, it starts at noon and it goes till like midnight, so that's 12 right. hours. It's not a three-hour concert.
Right. That's true. One fan wrote, Rage, just FYI, Coachella tickets start around $500 and skyrocket from there. There would be no revolution at this festival. This is a festival for people that can't afford it. But Morello pointed out that the band had already headlined the event twice in the past, writing. Previously, Rage headlined Coachella 1999, Coachella in 2007, and his hashtag was "You late on your hate." Coachella will take place over the weekends of April 10th through the 12th and April 17th through the 19th at the Empire Polo Club in Indio, California.
I mean, the real question is, can you buy single day tickets? Because you can do that. Can you do that at Made in America?
I would hope so. I would hope so. I mean, how many, you know, people, well, I guess they'll get them no matter what. They have all the artists coming. But
and it's two weekends, too.
Yes.
Coachella.
But I don't know if that $500 ticket, he said they start at $500 and go up from there. So we'd have to do some digging. I don't really want to dig right now. Okay. So you guys can dig away if you want to. Let me know if you get the information.
You're sleepy.
Yeah, make sure you call 311 if you dig. Here is
811.
Evan.
Before you dig.
All right. Is it 811 or is it 311?
I think it's 811.
Call them both.
All right, here we go. Evanescence, The Chain.
The Chain. Down comes the night. Break the silence. Down the dark, down the light. And if you don't love me now, you will never love me again. I can still hear you singing. You would never break the chain.
That's not bad. I think they should have added what I love about the original is, and that, you know, with, hang on. The part. That part. We still hear you saying those harmonies.
Yeah, it's great.
And Amy Lee does great self-harmonies on the studio stuff they do. They should have put that in there. That would have really
fleshed it out a little bit more.
But it sounds good.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it always is. It's got a dark feel to it, that song. I love it. That's one of the moodiest, coolest songs from Fleetwood Mac.
Can you play the beginning just one more time, the very beginning?
Sure.
Okay. The part with the huh?
Listen to the wind blow down comes the night.
So it's Delco? Did you think it was Delco?
No, I didn't.
Listen to the wind come from Delco tonight. It did
there
sound.
There are lots of strip malls and the people are the same. Listen to the wind blow, down comes the night.
Delco.
There it is.
Delco.
She loves Delco. She's smart.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, she's not that smart.
She's a Delco guy.
I think Casey.
Yeah.
She's a Delco fan. You can tell.
She is.
She was singing to you.
Delco.
Hang on, let's go back one more time.
To the wind blow.
here, Marissa, send it over.
What?
Down
comes. Oh, yeah. Yes!
It really does.
I can't believe I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
I can't believe you now have that.
Yes!
Down comes.
Dude, that's a new Delco official jingle.
Yeah, hit it again.
Down comes.
Wow.
What is she saying, though?
Delco.
Down comes.
Down comes the night.
Yeah.
Or down
like
goes
that.
The night.
Delco. 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 Delco.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Now, there you go. Amy Lee.
Man, I blame you, Kathy.
I have faith in Pearl Jam's new song. I think they're going to say Buck Scott.
No doubt, yeah.
We'll find out. All right, Foo Fighters, Beck, Coldplay's Chris Martin, and others will honor the late Prince with an all-star tribute concert in conjunction with the Grammy Awards. Let's go crazy, the Grammy salute to Prince.
Oh, I love these special shows that they do. They usually record them before the Grammy Awards.
Will be held at the Los Angeles Convention Center on January 28th, 2 days after the Grammys.
And just like I said.
It will be broadcast in April. Other artists who will perform include St. Vincent, Usher, Alicia Keys, Mavis Staples, Earth, Wind & Fire, Gary Clark Jr., and Juanes. While longtime Prince collaborator Sheila E. and her band will be supporting the acts throughout the night. Other artists tied to Prince, like his old band The Revolution, will also appear. Longtime Grammy producer Ken Ehrlich says the show will cover different eras of Prince's music career and have biographical segments interspersed between the musical performances.
Real quick, I mean, just looking at the guests that are going to, or the performers, I should say, they're going to do this. Do you think you know which songs they're going to do?
Like
Foo Fighters will probably do Darlin' Nicky, right?
Is I think the one Susanna that they... Haas will probably do Manic Monday, right? Because well, Prince wrote that for them.
Is she on the list here?
Yeah, Susanna Haas.
Then she's got to do Manic Monday, yeah. And yes, Casey, they'll probably do Darlin' Nicky because they did a cover of it, which Prince, in return, did a cover of The Best of You at the Super Bowl.
Okay.
When he did the halftime.
Here is my prediction. I think Coldplay's Chris Martin is going to do Diamonds and Pearls.
Okay.
That is my prediction.
Mm. What about what's the Sinead O'Connor song that Prince wrote?
Nothing Compares to You.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe Chris Martin could do that.
I think that would be a possible choice.
I think Alicia Keys will do that.
Oh, okay. That's a good one.
And then Seven. Who will do Seven?
I don't know. Earth, Wind, and Fire might do, you know, an up-tempo song like Let's Go Crazy or something like that. Good question, but there's going to be plenty of musicians and plenty of time to think about that. So
I'm excited.
Get yourself there.
I think Beck will do Bat Dance, Preston.
I'm excited. I'm
excited.
I like the Tin Man.
Let's see. Yeah, we don't want that.
Forget that.
David Lee Roth kicked off his solo Las Vegas residency and also gave a brief and worrying update on Eddie Van Halen's health. Roth launched his 3-night run at the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino's House of Blues venue on Wednesday night, returns for 6 shows for a run in March. His show balanced Van Halen classics with a smattering of solo favorites and shed light on why he's hitting the stage again, albeit without his Van Halen bandmates. He said, Ed's not doing well, and singing and dancing is a perishable skill. If you have the capacity, it's something that has to be used routinely, if not for the thrill of it and the magic of creating with other incandescent spirits. He went on to say that this show, which will serve later this year as Kiss's North American opening act, has been workshopped to perfection. He said, most bands spend 6 weeks minus auditions to bring you a superb show.
Perfection is a relative term.
He said, I started 2 years ago. I bring 2 guitars, sometimes 3, and now it picks up the way you first heard it inside that car, the way you first heard it in those great big ugly Koss headphones that your brother lent you. Roth went on to sell the show by saying, what we bring here is a whole sensibility of storytelling and toasting and dedications. I've already had one request. Fella wants to propose on stage, so we'll prepare a gospel moment. Clearly, we'll have to.
It's like a super duper grouper in the pooper.
Yes.
All that crap that he says. Weird, so. We do have clips of the show, Preston, which Marissa's grabbing from the residency. I'd be curious to get your take on it.
Yeah, let me run down. Well, maybe I can kill some time here, and I'll run down the set list. The songs sound good. A couple of them are, but... Did You Really Got Me, Big Train, Unchained, Just Like Paradise, Atomic Punk, Dance the Night Away, Mean Streets, wow, love that song, California Girls, Tobacco Road, Jamie's Crying, Beautiful Girls, Panama, Ain't Talking About Love, and then the encore was Just a Gigolo, I Ain't Got Nobody, Into Jump. Actually, that's a pretty stacked set list right there. Those are all great songs.
Just Like Paradise is a really great song, right? That's in there. You've been to that, right?
What's that?
Yeah, number 4.
Oh, Just Like Paradise? Yeah.
I like it, that.
I
love Mean Street for one reason and one reason only. It's the song that Preston played on his answering machine when his parents were in
Oh, yeah.
When your parents left for a trip and you had a rager at your house.
It was the beginning of Mean Street, the guitar solo. And I'm like, yeah.
And then your dad called and got the
voicemail,
right?
Parents are gone! He called and I hear a message from my dad says, get that goddamn message off of that machine right now. Yeah, this, you'd call up and you'd hear this and I'd be like, the parents are out of town, people. The party starts right now. I mean, it was ridiculous. And I was 18.
Yeah, yeah.
It was stupid. All right. Anyway, we have a clip here. Case, can you pull up his Dance the Night Away? Let's see if Dave sings the song.
Oh,
Terrible.
Yikes.
People all right, hate
here's
them.
Another one, Casey.
Hey, look, David Lee Roth's grandfather's up there. My grandson's going to be out in a few minutes, and he's going to sing you a couple of songs.
Here's Just Like Paradise.
He sounds a little bit like that whistle talker old guy in Family Guy.
Yes, right. We're just like living in paradise.
I love that. Did love that album, Skyscraper.
That's a particularly good song when it's done the proper way.
Yeah, that's right.
As everyone's going to have some pound cake and cream soda after the show.
Hang on. Diana has a comment about that show. Hi, Diana. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey.
How are you guys?
Good. What's up, Diana?
Okay. I have a friend who was at the show, and he posted a clip of one of the songs. And there was like 5 or 6 of us yesterday saw it, and we all were like, oh, my God, our teen years just dove off the top.
It just sullied the memory, huh?
And did your friend who was there, did he sometimes, you know, listen, audio, crappy recordings don't do it justice. What were his comments about it?
Oh,
or hers?
Oh, no. He said he was climbing up with my youth and jumping.
Okay. Well, you said...
He sounds terrible.
Preston, you has always said that the biggest disappointment of seeing Van Halen, even in sort of their heyday, was that Dave was not the best live performer.
Well, singer. Performer, yes, yeah. As far as entertaining and putting on a show,
right.
And talking to the crowd and doing backflips and jumping around and really selling it. But the actual vocal performance, and I remember being so disappointed, and this goes back to... you know, 1984, 1985, when I saw them back in the prime, heyday, and he wasn't doing it. I know Pierre defends him staunchly, and I get it because, he was a part of Pierre's anniversary concert and all that, and he's been really nice to Pierre. But I just, every time I've been to the show to see him live, I've been like, oh, man. That's why I actually appreciated the Sammy Hagar fronted version of Van Halen. I know some people crap on that version a lot. When you go live, Sammy sang big time and had a really big voice, too, and he performed above and beyond vocally, and so that's why I appreciated that version. But the studio stuff that the Roth era put out is freaking amazing.
Right,
it's unbelievable.
Right.
It's some of my all-time favorite rock music, you know?
The studio.
That's right. It does wonders, doesn't it?
The studio can really help with the sound.
All right, so there you go. That's music news. We are going to take a break. We're going to come back. Now, before I tell you, we have a new Daily Rush video, I've been told, and it's called Elephant Sex Toy.
I don't even know what this is.
I don't either. The description says it was the hottest gift of the 2019 holiday season, so we'll figure it out together. We were part of it, apparently.
Okay.
You're watching now at PrestonSteve.com, sponsored by Punchline Philly Comedy Club, Restaurant, and Bar. We'll come back in a second. And we'll give away a Word of the Week prize, and we'll go live via the magic of radio to Jack Frost Mountain and the Poconos for Day Off on the Slopes at WMMR. We'll be right back.
Easy. Easy peasy.
Easy as pie.
Easier than a dog licking his dish.
It's MMR's Easy Money Contest.
Your shot at $1,000 cash 5 times every weekday.
Tune in at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m.
as well as 1, 4, and 6 p.m. to hear that hour's winning keyword.
It's also easy to enter.
It's the first thing on the MMR app.
Top of the page at WMMR.com.
Or use the special contest short code
45911.
One random entry wins $1,000 in cash every time.
MMR's Easy Money.
Five times every weekday.
At 8 a.m., 11 a.m.,
1 p.m., 4 p.m., and 6 p.m.
Sponsored by Meineke. Total car care since 1972.
Complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com.
Some thank yous in order. Thank you to Patrick Warburton, who came by this morning. Got his ass handed to him in the Pearl Jam contest by Nick McElwain.
He did.
Yeah, maybe he was off a bit today.
I mean, we had to rush him through it, too. There was a miscommunication, but still, he got destroyed.
He is going to be performing at Punchline Comedy Club tonight and tomorrow, so go see him. Nice guy. Thank you also to our friends at Gottschall Turkey Bacon for stopping in this morning and feeding all of our guests today. We do have many people that are hanging about the studio today, so we got some good eats in, which is wonderful. And we have an intern's last day before we check in with Pierre. Intern Sean, it's his last day today. An intern that is headed out the door. And, of course, on the final day, I made him go out to my car and carry some really heavy stuff in for me. So, you know,
poor bastard.
I know. It is true.
Sorry about that, man.
That's all right. It was a nice workout for the day. Now I don't have to go to the gym later.
We had a discussion on the way in because he was coming in the same time I was when I forgot to set my alarm clock this morning. But you have you got one semester to go, and that's it,
yep,
right?
One last semester at Temple University, and then I'm off to who knows where.
Who knows where, man.
Where would you like to end up?
I don't know. Back here, hopefully, maybe. We'll see. But
radio, you're digging the radio.
Radio, I like radio and TV. I don't really have a preference right now. Just kind of whatever opportunities come my way.
On the production end or on the performance end?
Production. Definitely. Okay. Definitely like the production end more.
Very nice.
And how has your college experience been? You enjoyed it?
Wonderful. Whether it's like friends or even just opportunities that I've had at school. I've been a producer at school for various different shows and stuff. So yeah. I love doing that. And the live aspect of it is awesome.
Do you make some friends here you think that you'll stay in touch with? I mean, like, you know, the other interns and some of the staff?
I hang out with Kathy all the time.
Yeah, Bucks Co. That's why.
That's right.
But... Connor, I think so. I'll definitely keep in touch with Andrew. I actually knew beforehand, and Jack as well. So I'll definitely keep in touch with them and meeting like Mary Beth and everyone.
Cool.
Everyone's just really cool here.
You know,
there are some of our like older interns. I mean, from way back in the day, like Aaron and Jake and Steve. Like they all are still pretty friendly.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
I actually know Eileen as well. I met her about a year or so ago, and she's awesome as well.
Nice. Now you went out to a few of the events while you're an intern here, right?
Yep.
Anyone that stands out in particular that was fun? Or?
Camp out was definitely fun. Christmas Miracle as well. Yeah. Just kind of hanging out as well. It's also not too far from my house back home.
Nice. So proximity certainly helps.
Yeah. But I mean, when I'm at Temple, it's not too far either. So it's not too bad either.
Well, we wish you luck, man. Thanks for all the help. We appreciate it. We couldn't do it without you.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a wonderful 7 months and a fantastic opportunity.
All right, go graduate.
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear for Sean, his final day today.
Very good intern.
Absolutely. All right, so I believe I've been told our equipment is working. Let's see. Pierre Robert, E2000 Lounge. Are you there, sir?
What?
What?
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Good day, citizens.
And here we are again in the mountains. How about that, brother?
Man, it's great. It's crisp and clean. There's a little sun out here, but some clouds. There's snow everywhere, you know, and even though we're in the winter vibe in the Philly area, you don't think of skiing necessarily because there's no snow on the ground. But up here, with their amazing ability at Jack Frost to make snow, they really run a great mountain here at Jack Frost and Big Boulder. And the place is packed. And, you know, we're looking out, as you guys have many times before, from that E2000 Lounge perch. And I'm seeing people getting off the ski lifts, skiing, you know, getting ready to go down the hill. And so it's a great vibe.
It's awesome. I was seeing video of the whole setup last night, and there it just looks great. They could certainly, you know, the snow's not an issue, and the weather, I mean, the conditions are very conducive.
Yes, indeed, and I couldn't be healthier, and that's between the two things. I'm hacking in Pancake's face. I'm sorry. Poor thing, I got him. Did I get you sick?
Yeah, probably.
Right. He didn't look like he felt well at all yesterday.
He was not doing well.
Yeah.
Did you do your thing up here that you usually do? Or no, you like to get up there early and run naked with the wolves.
I did do that, okay. And I beat the Wolves. Both there were two Wolves I was running against this year.
It was a race.
There was James, and there was also Henry.
Henry and James.
Both, Henry and James, and I did quite well against them in the naked run this morning.
Very cool.
That was at 5:30. I have some mild frostbite on both toes, but they say it'll be over by the time I'm done with the program.
Both toes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I only have two toes.
I didn't know. I was just.
I lost all the other ones.
I've never seen you with your shoes off, so I wouldn't doubt it.
Preston, he had the other eight removed for wolf racing.
Exactly.
Years of wolf racing.
You've got to if you're going to be a wolf racer. I mean, it's part of, you know, you play hockey, you lose teeth. You lose toes.
You play hurt.
You play hurt, baby. Yeah. That's how it goes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. All right, you want to do the letter of the day?
I do.
All right, two toes, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
I love two toes. Yeah. H, as in Henry, of course.
All right, and we'll take caller 7 to find if they know the word. 215-263-WMMR. Caller number 7, you get to take a shot at the word of the week. So now are you going to get out and try to ski at all, or is that not going to be possible today?
Well, the doctor has advised me to stay here and get a sponge bath instead. So that's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
Nothing like a good mountain sponge bath.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing like, well, the wolves will do it for me later. And then Rob, one of our engineers, has to run up to Starbucks 55 miles away from here and get me some coffee. One time, there is a Starbucks, what do you call those things?
Stores?
Rest stops. No, well, on the turnpike, you know, you have to get off on those rest stops.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was right up the thing, and I had missed it on the way here, and I go, well, maybe someone can go. And Rob said, well, I'll go. And it turned. What did he have to do?
He had to drive to the rest stop, then drive to the next exit on the turnpike, get off of the turnpike, pay the toll, get back on the turnpike, and then drive back to Jack Frost Mountain.
It was 50 miles.
It took about an hour and 40 minutes
for a cup of coffee.
Yeah. But I was worth it.
Oh, I'm sure Rob thought so, that every moment of it was worth it.
Rob has never forgiven me for this day.
So what do you have planned for today, sir?
Well, I thank you for that ask. And the thing is, we've got things. We've got some birthdays to celebrate, three different kinds. And Clarence's birthday would have been tomorrow, so we'll do a workforce block of Bruce. Rod Stewart's birthday is today. We will do a block of the great Rod of the Mod. And Brent Smith of Shinedown is also celebrating a birthday. So we will cover Shinedown in the workforce blocks. And we'll also have the possibility of $1,000 to offer in a couple of different occasions. One of them coming soon.
Pierre? We should probably do it right after I get the winner here, because it's 10:58. You just want to hang on and we'll do it right now?
We were thinking that. I could tell you a story.
Please do. No, you don't need to tell us a story.
There was this time I said,
let me go to the calls and see if we can get a winner. We're looking for caller number 7. Hang on the line here. And let me see here. Oh, hang on.
Held hostage, and I boldly broke in.
I'm going to go to Ed. Ed on line 7. Ed, good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Peter. How you doing?
Wonderful. Ed, do you know the word of the week?
Yeah, sloth.
Sloth.
Great day in the morning.
That's it. Ed, amongst all that noise, there is a prize in here somewhere. Oh, this prize brought to you by the newly renamed Valley Tower at Valley Forge Casino Resort. And we're going to set you up with an overnight stay, dinner for two, and two tickets to an upcoming show. You have to be at least 21 years of age, which I'm sure you are. So you're set to go. Congratulations, Ed.
Thank you very much, PA. Have fun sledding.
Actually, you should be thanking Preston and Steve. He's kind of thanked me, but it's their prize. I just horn in on it at the end. So.
It's your letter, man.
You're horning all over it.
All right.
Well, it's a group effort, and that's why we have love, and that's where love came from.
New name, same great place. It's a Valley Tower at Valley Forge Casino Resort, where the house is yours. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. So we have about roughly a minute before I have to officially wait for until we hit the button and do the giveaway. But this will not be your only chance to win because we do the easy money several times throughout the day. In fact, Jackson, who will be, what time does he usually get in, Pierre? Does he show up for the broadcast? I'm sure he's there, you know, skiing and stuff ahead of time, right?
Yeah, he gets here sometime between noon and 1 o'clock usually, okay. And he's hanging out. He comes up in his Jeep, which is the equivalent of a small Sherman tank.
Right.
It takes over two full lanes on the expressway. You can't not miss it. Plus the machine gun turrets and the bazooka launchers.
Right.
I mean, you definitely get out of the way when Jackson is on his way.
So Pierre's going to have not only the opportunity now, but again at 1 o'clock. And then Jackson will, as broadcasting from the E2000 Lounge, have a crack at 4. And then at 6 p.m. as well. So this happens several times throughout the day. So he will be giving you that opportunity, him and Sarah broadcasting live. All right, I think we're set to go. And if you have the word, or we don't have the word here. Well, so
yeah, I have it.
No, oh,
yeah,
all right, we got it. All right, let's fire this thing up. Here we go.
93.3 WMMR.
Take all this cash.
It's time for your shot at Easy Money.
Pierre Robert, take it away.
Thank you, sir. The word is winner, W-I-N-N-E-R. Winner. You have till 15 after the hour to text that to us at 45911 or the special mobile app thing or the contest page at WMMR.com. And good luck for Meineke and all of us at 93.3 WMMR in Philadelphia. The contest thing, it's a good thing, and it's the word is winner.
All right, winner.
W-I-N-N-E-R. Let's have winners.
All right.
Be a winner, not it's singular, not plural. Winner, winner, winner.
And don't forget, you'll get a call if you're randomly selected in the nationwide contest. Win $1,000. Complete contest rules available at WMMR.com. So good luck from Meineke and MMR. Pierre Robert, have an enjoyable day there, sir. Be safe, have fun, and we will catch up with you next week. But we'll be listening, obviously, while you're there, all right?
Sports up.
Sports up, brother. All right, see you, Two Toes. Let's see. I want to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you by Jack Frost and Big Boulder Ski Areas, where the snow comes first. Next week, big week on the program. Todd Glass. We'll be in the studio. You always know what that's like. We're also going to talk to Josh Hartnett.
Yeah.
Haven't spoke to him in ages. Comedian Nick Thune will be here. Our good friend Brittany Taylor from what's the show?
Very Cavallari.
Very Cavallari.
I watch it all the time.
Our calendar girl, Brittany, and comedian Kurt Metzger. And, oh, we're going to talk to John Cryer, too. So,
started
next week. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great weekend, gang. And we'll see you later.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
One size fits all. My ass, one size fits all. Greatest lie of all time, one size fits all.
Next message.
Man, see? It's Friday, see? Time to tell everybody at work to kiss my ass, see? Let's go to have a beer at happy hour, see? Before I smack you upside the head.
Next message.
Is there any way we can make a law where all the candy bar makers can only sell their single-size candy bar for a dollar? Why am I paying $3? You guys basically want a loan for a king-size candy bar. For the grown kids of America like me, let's make it happen. Let's save the world. $1.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.